Make it a good one.
O samba da, vem cá samba. Vem cá, vem cá, vem cá samba. Com o samba da, vem cá samba.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Sam Litzinger. Michael Vick has been suspended from pro football without pay indefinitely after a plea agreement. The Atlanta Falcons quarterback is caught up in a dogfighting scandal. He's admitted to taking part in a dogfighting conspiracy and to helping kill pit bulls, but he denies he ever made a bet on the outcome of fights. CBS News analyst Andrew Cohen checks in.
This is a very lawyerly plea agreement. You can tell that prosecutors and defense attorneys have been over this information. For example, Michael Vick agrees that the dogs were killed, that he played a role in it, but doesn't specifically say that he killed any single dog. That's the sort of stuff that the judge is going to look at.
Vick could face up to 5 years in prison. The father of a murdered Florida girl says the man convicted of killing Jessica Lunsford shouldn't appeal a death sentence. Mark Lunsford is demanding that John Cooey take his punishment instead. Judge Rick Howard.
He secured the victim. He kept her secreted from detection. He obtained the implements for her disposal, such as bag, shovel, and rake. He chose the burial location. He chose the burial time, and he dug the hole.
Cooey showed no emotion as the sentence was read. Reputed KKK member James Ford Seal has been sentenced to 3 life terms for his role in the 1964 abduction and murder of 2 black teenagers in Mississippi. Mark Potok is with the Southern Poverty Law Center.
He deserves to spend the rest of his life in prison.
Potok says, take a look at this crime.
These victims were tied to trees, beaten senseless, then one of them was actually decapitated, you know, their bodies tied to engine blocks and tossed into a river while they were still alive. I think that's a pretty gruesome crime.
The 72-year-old Seal was convicted in June of kidnapping and conspiracy charges in the deaths. A court appearance for former astronaut Lisa Nowak. You'll remember she was arrested on charges of attacking a romantic rival. CBS News correspondent Peter King is on the story in Atlanta.
Lisa Nowak asked the judge to remove a GPS ankle wrap that keeps her from getting even close to her intended victim, Colleen Shipman. She says she'll stay away and...
I'll abide by all the court orders that went along with wearing the unit and any additional ones that they wish to put on.
The prosecutor asked Shipman...
Did it still make you feel better that you knew that she couldn't come near you or be around you?
Absolutely. When I'm home alone and there's nobody there with me, it is a comfort.
When asked if she was still afraid of Nowak, Shipman replied, yes. Did she want her taken off the ankle monitor? Absolutely not. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
More big bad storms for the Midwest. More flooding's predicted in parts of Iowa, Indiana, Illinois, several other states.
I was in a mobile home this morning, a very fine woman. She's in her 60s. She and her husband, they've lost everything. The water was chest high.
Mark Everson is president of the American Red Cross, one of the agencies trying to help people get their lives back together. On Wall Street, the Dow closed up 143 points, the NASDAQ up 35, the S&P 500 up nearly 17. This is CBS News.
We wanted to move in 90 days, and that was our goal.
Selling a home can be a challenge.
I've been through this type of market before. I'm going to be there every step of the way to guide them through it.
Realtors I work with know the markets that they're in.
They know how to market it. They know how to sell it.
Interest rates are at historic lows, which means more buyers are in the market for a home like yours. Every market's different. Call a realtor today.
The market is always changing, and I'll always be ready for it.
Only realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Another how-to half minute from the Home Depot.
Oh, I know. We'll redo the kitchen or carpet the den. Of course, I'd love new appliances. I should ask Jerry, but he's so indecisive.
Expand your list of possibilities. Tackle any project now and get special deferred financing store-wide with your Home Depot consumer credit card. So pick your project.
The bathroom. No, landscaping. Yeah, no. Ooh, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Offer valid through August 26th in U.S. only. See store for details.
The White House isn't rushing to endorse a call by Republican Senator John Warner to start bringing American troops home from Iraq.
I'm Mark Nola with the president in Crawford, Texas, where we're told there's been no recommendation as yet from General Pace to reduce the number of U.S. forces in Iraq next year. Spokesman Gordon Jandro says the president intends to wait for next month's report from his top commander and diplomat in Iraq before making any changes in U.S. strategy there. Until then, The White House expects a lot of unsolicited views on what to do next.
Senator Warner says time has pretty much run out for the Iraqi government. Time wasn't kind to the time capsule buried 40 years ago at Southern Illinois University in Edwardsville, Illinois. They dug it up, hoping to take a look at the decades-old photos and books squirreled away, only to find a soggy, smelly, mildewy mess. School officials promise the next time capsule will be waterproof. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
OnStar Emergency, this is Aaron.
Yes, Aaron, how are you today?
Good, how are you?
Good. I just spoke to someone with OnStar about 10 minutes ago to report an accident on the highway, and all the emergency personnel is here, and that's all taken care of now. And in all the chaos of trying to take care of everybody, I locked myself out of my car.
Oh, can I have your four-digit security number?
242.
In most cases, OnStar can send a signal to unlock your doors.
I have a signal going through currently, so it should be very quick here. Oh, and they should be open if you want to give them a try.
Oh, my God, OnStar. All right, thank you very much. I really do appreciate it.
No other problem. You have a great evening.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Remote door unlock is just one of many OnStar services available on 16 Chevy models. The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped Chevy vehicles. To learn more, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar, active.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B., and we are emanating, that is, originating from San Francisco. Great to have you listening, including our brand new affiliate, Big Sky Radio in Billings, Laurel, Montana. And if you're the first caller to check in from the Billings area today, we've got a nice little prize for you. You can call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. On our program today, at the request of a listener from Coos Bay, we've got Democratic Congressman Peter DeFazio. He'll be with us in about half an hour. He supports impeaching Alberto Gonzalez, and on that, we're in full agreement. But he has misgivings about impeaching Cheney and Bush. We'll ask him why. Also, I'm going to ask him to explain what happened while I was out of the country when the Democrats whiffed and allowed the NSA amnesty bill to go to the floor and pass with some Democratic support. Next hour on the program, Dar Jamil, a journalist who spent a lot of time in Iraq, will join us. One of the issues he's championed is now front page news on the New York Times. But Dar Jamil has been talking about the Iraqi refugee crisis. Now 4 million or more have been displaced. And we'll also talk about the misgivings that American politicians have expressed about Maliki and the reports due in September, the propaganda campaign that Ari Fleischer and friends are launching, and lots more, too. And in our third and final hour, as usual, Brad Friedman joins us, Mr. Election Protection. And there's a grisly story breaking from Florida related to election issues. A close colleague of Tom Feeney, who many people know for his controversial attempts to fix elections, and he is a sitting Republican congressman from Florida. These colleagues of Tom Feeney, there is a report of a double murder and suicide. And Brad Friedman's on the story. We'll get the details coming up later on in the program today. At any moment, you can call in toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. You can also email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. Or should you take exception to the humble host's commentary, full of it at peterbcollins.com. Don't add the SH, it won't reach me. Full of it. That's all you need to know. Well, we are very proud to be part of the new wave of progressive talk shows in this country. And there is a risky situation where we may be losing one of our most interesting, most influential progressive talk outlets in the country. It's KLSD in San Diego. And joining me to talk about this, John Elliott, my friend and Air America host who got his start there at KLSD. John, welcome to the program today.
Welcome, Peter. You're being very modest. I actually got my start with you.
Okay.
When you took a two-week vacation on a little venture called Icicle Networks back in August of 2003, and you were kind enough to take a chance on me for a couple of weeks. And from that, I was able to put together a little demo tape that interested the folks here at KLSD, and they gave me a break. So.
And then you got another big break, and you're now nationally heard on Air America Radio. I got to sit in on your show again last week, and you're really building a great following there, John.
Thank you, Peter, and I really appreciate the opportunity of being on your program. And anytime I'm taking a day here, you're the first call. I trust the show to you more than anybody else.
Well, thank you. And how did you do at Del Mar last week?
I actually won.
All right.
Really good. I won. Kathy won a little bit more. The couple we were with won also. So we all went out to dinner after and spent everything that we won and more.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well, that'll help pump up the California economy. You know,
we do our best.
Badly we need it. Also with me is Aldous Tyler of Nonstop Radio, based in Madison, Wisconsin. Their website, nonstopradio.com. Greetings, Aldous.
Hello, Peter. And hey, John.
Hi, Aldous. How are you?
Now, Aldous, it's nice to talk with you again, but these are difficult circumstances because you helped lead the charge in Madison less than a year ago that saved The Mic, which is an FM station owned by Clear Channel that was an Air America affiliate. They announced plans to switch the format to sports, and you rallied not only listeners but also advertisers in the Madison area, and you were able to turn around that decision, and The Mic is doing better than ever from all indications.
Absolutely. I just talked to Mike Ferris, who is the station manager and operations manager for Clear Channel Madison and The Mic. And I got to tell you, he said that it's doing really good. What they essentially agreed to is to give Mike a year to prove itself,
mm-hmm.
and it is completely meeting and beating their expectations. I see no reason to think that they won't be extending it a lot further than the year.
Mm-hmm. Well, now we need you to go to work and put your expertise into play in San Diego. John, give us an update on the status of KLSD 1360.
This started as an ugly rumor about 1 o'clock in the afternoon the day before yesterday when we all started to get emails, and I had a torrent of emails saying, say it isn't so, there's a rumor out there that KLSD is considering switching to all sports. And I thought, well, that's pretty silly because we already have two all-sports stations in the market. One of them has the San Diego Padres, one of our two professional sports teams. Clear Channel has another station that has the Chargers, the other professional sports team. The second sports station is an ESPN affiliate. There are now four, count them, four right-wing talk stations in the market with the entree of a new one just in the last week or two. And we are the only progressive voice. The station was originally called K-Pop, Music of Your Life. And if you don't like the third Burt Kampfert song, you'll love the fourth Patti Page. And that, of course, was it ranked 40th out of 43 stations in the market. And they flipped it to KLSD, and we had remarkable success. We've gone up in every single book, increasing our ratings, except for the last one. The last one was just a kind of a weird set of circumstances, and we had some really bizarre low numbers, which nobody really talked, nobody's really worried about it. I talked to our operations manager, the contemporary of the gentleman that Aldous talked to in Madison. Our station manager here was one program director of the year numerous times in the radio industry here, Cliff Albert.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, the same thing happened in San Francisco at the quake. There really weren't good ratings. But it was a once, and we just don't think that because of the method, the way these Arbitron ratings work, that it was anything to worry about. And we didn't worry about it. And the station has consistently got some nice numbers. We've won our time slots. Actually, Ed Schultz beats Sean Hannity in San Diego. And San Diego, for most of our California listeners know, it's a the last bastion of right-wingism. It's the Pete Wilson, the home of Pete Wilson and whatnot. And Daryl Issa and and the Metzgers of the world and the real uber right wing.
And Roger Hedgecock, we know.
Not only
him.
Roger Hedgecock, but we have the distinct pleasure of having Duke Cunningham and Brent Wilkes as residents of our fair community.
Right.
So it really is a heavy-duty right-wing community, and for us to have as high numbers as we do, Randy Rhodes' numbers are very strong here, our numbers are strong, and to suddenly hear that they're going to flip it was, to me, preposterous. Now, as you know, Peter, and your listeners may not know, I come out of a business background, so I look at it from a pragmatic point of view.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to get into this business from an emotional point of view. I saw the wrongs of the Bush administration, and I thought, well, I want to get on the air and do something about it, do what I can to bring the truth to America. And in doing this, I've been able to learn a little bit about the business of radio, which is a bizarre business. Because you know, right at the beginning. And but I don't know that things run by Clear Channel, which is, as we know, the largest radio station owner in the country, that they would do anything other than something that would be prudent fiscally. So I did not think that this would be a fiscally prudent move. So, of course, I go on the air that night and say, I, like you, listeners, have heard the rumors. I have not heard anything official from management, and I will ask, and when I know, I will let you know. In the meantime, of course, I flashed off an email to Aldis saying, what have you heard? And it looks like something may be happening, and you know, we need your magic, because he knows how to organize the troops on the road,
mm-hmm.
on the ground. And then I met with the assistant program director yesterday, because Cliff is out of town on vacation. And she said, it is on the table. It's something that they are discussing. I get the feeling that it is something that is being made in San Antonio. It's not a decision of Cliff Albert. And in fact, he said to me when Air America was going through its well-documented financial difficulties last fall, when mm-hmm. it filed for Chapter 11, he said, look, if Air America goes away, Progressive Talk is going to stay on this station. It's here to stay. Randy Rhodes will find a syndicator. At that time, of course, it was Franken. Al Franken will find a syndicator, and Progressive Talk will continue to survive. Air America is a very nice umbrella. We wish it well. We hope it does survive. And, of course, it has, and it's come back bigger and stronger, as you know, Peter,
mm-hmm.
and is poised for some very good things and some good multimedia going forward. So it was really surprising to me to hear that it was a confirmation of the rumor. With Aldis's help, there's been a torrent of outpouring from our listeners. Emails. Last night I took calls from Mississippi, people that are in Mississippi emailing. We had an Air America affiliate in Little Rock, Arkansas that we lost,
mm-hmm.
and the audience in Little Rock listens to us through the KLSD website. So they patronize the organization that way. We have listeners in Oregon that have said they will advertise on the station. They have businesses, so we've been getting a tremendous amount of support. But to Aldis's credit, he immediately jumped in with Nonstop Radio, which we've put a link on our website to his site, and he's organized a site. He's got a chat room going. He's got a community going where people can get together. And through his efforts, there is going to be a meeting, a rally tomorrow, Saturday morning, where they're going to plan what they're going to do on Monday, and myself and my producer and researcher are going to be there,
mm-hmm.
along with goodness knows how many of our supporters, and we want to demonstrate properly and show Clear Channel that there is tremendous support in the community, and that we believe that it would be a tremendous mistake to remove the only progressive voice in San Diego.
That's John Elliott, Air America nighttime host, and Aldis Tyler is with us from nonstopradio.com. Visit the website. In fact, if you can go there during this break, take a look. There's some flyers there for an event that they're planning for Monday. We're going to take a quick break here and return and let Aldis talk about the plans to show Clear Channel management in San Diego that KLSD is vital and has a lot of growth potential. Let's see if we can save this Progressive Talk outlet. If you have a question or comment, you can join us right now toll free at 888-5 Peter B.
Wake up, everybody, almost spinning day. No more back with thinking, time to think in here. The world has changed so very much the way it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts. offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale, reminding you to listen in every Saturday for my show, 12-Step Talk Uncensored. Saturdays 4 to 5 p.m., honest talk about addictions and how recovery is possible. 12-Step Talk Uncensored. With addictions now the number one fastest rising disease in America, I mean all addictions, sex, food, gambling, alcohol, shopping, we are all affected. So listen in and call in. Saturdays 4 to 5 with me, Sheila Gale, brought to you by Sun Street Centers, prevention and recovery centers, serving the Monterey Peninsula for over 30 years.
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
Tired of commuting an hour or more every day so you can make money for somebody else? Would you like to build a successful home-based business? Let Tanya Simmons show you how. Attend the CyberWise Opportunity Rally on Saturday, August 25th at 1:30 p.m. The CyberWise Opportunity Rally will be held at the Valley Center Bowl in Salinas. Call John Gaines at 831-229-2546 to reserve your place at the CyberWise Opportunity Rally. Call John Gaines now at 229-2546. That number again is 229-2546.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Can't find that on the radio. Yo, turn to that station.
Yeah, turn to that station and will you find your favorite progressive talk show? It's
collapsing. Round our ears, I turned up the radio. I can't hear it.
We're talking about a possible format change in San Diego that would take progressive air, talk radio off the air. And Aldis Tyler of Nonstop Radio is with us, along with Air America's John Elliott. Aldis, first up, can you give us a quick overview of the number of progressive talk stations in the country, what the high watermark was, and where we are today?
Certainly, Peter. About a little more than a year ago, we were closing in on 100 stations across the country that were broadcasting progressive talk on AM or FM airwaves. Now, that's not a lot of stations, but that was enough to give us a lot of coverage in very vital markets like San Diego, Boston, Cleveland, and Columbus, places like that. Places that where it can be very much a swing vote, depending upon, you know, the political climate of the time. And so what happened is that we saw in the past just a little bit more than a year, we've seen a drop of over 20 of those stations. So if you consider that it was less than 100 stations to begin with, you can count each station as a little bit more than 1% of the progressive talk signal in this country. Mm-hmm. We've lost about 25% in a year.
Yeah.
And so that's a very, very significant loss, many of them in very prime markets. This time last year, Cincinnati, Columbus, and Cleveland were all progressive talk covered, meaning that the main places in Ohio were. Now, none of them are. Ohio is completely deaf to progressive talk unless they stream it.
Right. So, Aldous, you've put up a page at nonstopradio.com/sandiego.html, or you can just link to it from the homepage at nonstopradio.com. Give us a quick sketch of what you have planned right now.
Okay, at the moment, here's the big deal. I got to say that, first of all, John deserves a lot of the credit for how passionate everybody is about saving the station. John, Stacey Taylor, and Scooter, which is a weekend show there, they're the local people there, which, you know, just as much as Ed Schultz or any of the national shows have touched people, the local people there have really put, have really made it San Diego's place to come for political and factual sanity. So because of that, basically, once I was able to confirm that indeed the rumors were true, it was a matter of just making sure that all of these very impassioned people had a place to come network, get together, and make plans. So the plans are actually theirs, and that's very important. I'm not going to come in from the outside and tell people how to run their show. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to make sure that they have the tools they need to do it. So what's planned right now is Saturday, there is going to be a planning meeting where they're going to make sure that they've got everything that they want put together for Monday. Monday's the big show, the big event. 7:30 in the morning, they're going to gather outside of Clear Channel San Diego, and they're going to be there en masse to let Clear Channel San Diego know just how much they appreciate the fact that Clear Channel San Diego put on progressive talk and has maintained it this far, and the fact that they really need it to continue.
Mm-hmm. And all this, what I think is beautiful about what you do is that you rally listeners and advertisers, and while you are confronting Clear Channel management, it appears you do it in a way that doesn't alienate them or demonize them and gives them the room to make the kind of decision that we're looking for.
Well, there's no point to that. I mean, let's face it. Clear Channel, as a corporation, many progressives, myself included, have reason to kind of grimace when we hear the name Clear Channel. But the fact is that they're such a large organization, they're not at all centralized in their decision-making process. Many of these things are individual market decisions. And that's why when you have reasonable people, like I'm sure the people in San Diego generally are, and the people here in Madison were, you can talk to them. You can say, look, we've got sponsors that have advertised who will advertise more. We've got more sponsors out here who would love to. We just need to make sure that we're reaching out to them and bringing them in.
And John Elliott, what do you hope to achieve, and what's your appeal to listeners to support this this effort to keep KLSD progressive?
Now, we're the last bastion of intelligent talk. That our audience is educated, they're affluent. Our listeners actually buy cars, and as strange as that may seem, they buy shoes. They go to doctors, they go to movie theaters, just like real Americans. Isn't that amazing? And we need to convince the management here at Clear Channel that we deserve a chance to continue to prove that, and that we are a bastion for liberal talk, and we are an opportunity, a place where people can gather and know that they're going to get the straight story and know that they're going to get the unvarnished truth as to what's going on, which for no other reason is an alternative to what all of the other stations say. I mean, Dennis Prager went on and last week, and he said after the fiasco at LAX, at Los Angeles Airport, where people were stranded for 14 hours, he said, LAX stranded for 14 hours, passengers, and you want the government to run your health care? So, I mean, and that generally would go unanswered. Right. I was able to say...
John, let me jump in. You know the drill here. We're running out of time.
Okay.
Nonstopradio.com. And is there a John Elliott website?
There is, johntalk.com, JONTALK.
Very good. Thank you both, and
thanks, Peter.
Best wishes. Let's keep KLSD progressive. Thanks, Aldous. Thank you, John. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
We were looking for an inclusive community, so we joined a Unitarian Universalist church where we can really live our values.
Did you know the American Red Cross, the League of Women Voters, the ACLU, and the SPCA were all founded by Unitarians or Universalists?
Imagine a denomination that walks its talk. When Martin Luther King Jr. appealed to clergy to join protesters in Selma, Alabama, more than one-third of the Unitarian Universalist parish ministers answered his call.
And Unitarian Universalists are still fighting for justice today. We're speaking up everywhere for marriage equality, for reproductive rights, for the environment, and for our civil liberties.
A denomination with progressive values makes a difference in today's world. Unitarian Universalists. Come visit our church on the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website, uucmp.org, or call 624-7404.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's
475-1200. As long as there's been man, there have been UFO sightings. The Bible speaks of UFOs. People report sightings daily, so why doesn't this information make the news? Find out at the Bay Area UFO Expo, San Jose Doubletree Inn. Over 80 exhibitors, hosts, Jordan Maxwell, George Norrie, Jesse Marcel Jr., John Lear, Sean David Morton, and others cover subjects including UFOs, Sasquatch, Kabbalistic healings, ET encounters, Tesla technology, Earth mysteries, and much more. The 9th annual Bay Area UFO Expo.com at the San Jose Doubletree Inn this Saturday, Sunday, August 25th, 26th. Your chance to go above top secret at the Bay Area UFO Expo.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
I don't remember.
official theme music for Mr. Amnesia, the Attorney General, Alberto Gonzalez. He just can't remember, Senator. Go ahead and sing along. Oh, Senator, I just can't recall. I was at the meeting, but my mind's a blank. How in the world is Alberto Gonzalez still clinging to his job as Attorney General? And how is it that even more power has been put in his lap by a recently amended Patriot Act extension that now gives him the ability, in a bizarre Orwellian way, to permit states to execute inmates on death row faster than otherwise would have happened? Peter DeFazio is dean of the Oregon Congressional Delegation. He is a Democrat who serves southern Oregon, including Coos Bay and Eugene, and he joins us on the phone this afternoon. Congressman, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.
Nice to talk with you again. Now, I heard from a listener who attended one of your town hall meetings during the summer recess that you have endorsed H.R. 508, the resolution calling for the impeachment of the Attorney General. Tell us about it.
That's correct. I think it's H.R. 589, because I printed out a copy today.
Oh, okay. You know, I mixed that up. 508 is the Barbara Lee Get Out of Iraq bill.
Okay, sure.
And 58...
Well, a lot of important stuff pending. So.
Yeah, 589, right?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. That's I only have it because I printed out a copy today. Well, you know, Gonzalez is really kind of the key here, I believe. He's stopping up the entire justice system and corrupting the entire justice system in the United States. He was appointed to be the chief law enforcement officer in the United States. And he is, in fact, the chief protector and promoter of you know, Bush, Cheney, and much of their malfeasance in office. If we could remove Mr. Gonzalez, then we would get our Justice Department back. We would actually have an Attorney General who would enforce congressional subpoenas, which he's refusing to do. We could name special prosecutors, and we could begin to investigate many other things that have gone on during this administration. This is absolutely unprecedented to have this Attorney General refusing to honor congressional subpoenas and take them to the circuit court and have them enforced.
In addition, Congressman, I believe the evidence is quite clear and convincing that Alberto Gonzalez has repeatedly lied under oath, perjured himself before the Senate and the House committee.
Oh, yeah. Well, I hadn't gotten to that yet. I was just talking about the good reasons to, you know, if we removed him, what good could come of it. But no, obviously that was the most immediate, you know, I think, factor in Mr. Inslee introducing his bill and my sponsoring it was his most recent acts of what we believe would constitute perjury to the United States Senate.
Mm-hmm. And in addition, of course, many of us have very strong feelings about positions that the Attorney General took as White House counsel relative to the torture policies, the detention policies, the national security illegal wiretapping program. People euphemize it as warrantless wiretapping. And unfortunately, now the Congress has legitimized it, and it's no longer illegal, I guess. But it was illegal at the time. They knew it, and they consistently chose to break the law to conduct the surveillance that they did. And we saw the bizarre trip with Andy Card to the hospital bed of John Ashcroft, who had taken a leave as Attorney General because of a severe illness. And because they couldn't get his deputy to go along with extending the illegal wiretap program, they tried to persuade Mr. Ashcroft to do that, momentarily creating an honorable image of John Ashcroft. And when you add all that up, plus the work that he's done as Attorney General, he's crying out for impeachment. I mean, if anyone has asked for it, it is Attorney General Gonzalez.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, from the beginning, I mean, I think first off, before, you know, talking about all the you know, the perjury and the actions he's taken, he's an incompetent. You know, I wrote to him back in 2002, I was concerned about the Bush administration talking about, rather loosely, before the invasion of Iraq, about Iran was next. You know, real men go to, Tehran was the Cheney-Wolfowitz mantra over there. And so I wrote and said, you know, Congress, although over my objections, did extend authority for the president to invade Iraq, it did not extend authority to attack Iran. And about 4 months later, I got back an extraordinary letter from the Attorney General. He was then White House counsel, now the Attorney General, even worse, stating that, his reading of the Constitution and war powers was that the Commander-in-Chief had ultimate authority to initiate action, preemptive or otherwise, and use the armed forces as he saw fit. Just, you know, unbelievable denial and misreading of the entire history and construct of the Constitution of the United States, and that's before he was Attorney General. And he's been, you know, the handmaiden of these folks since he took over that office. The politicization of the Justice Department is unprecedented. Yet another Bush appointee had to resign today because of politicization within that department, the Civil Rights Division.
Mm-hmm.
It's unconscionable, extraordinary.
Is that you're referring to Schlossman?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Bradley Schlossman.
Right. Mm-hmm. That just came out today, but that's not the first. I mean, there's been a series of, you know, we had the U.S. attorney firings. I mean, there's just a whole series of things that have happened.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are, in this case, there's been a significant number of Republicans, I believe, who have called for his resignation. So, we have a smidgen of a chance here to actually move some articles on Mr. Gonzalez and get rid of him and reclaim our Justice Department.
We're talking with Democratic Congressman Peter A. DeFazio here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a question or comment, you can call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And, Congressman, earlier this week, I played a clip from Senator Pat Leahy, who chairs the Senate Judiciary Committee, and he's hopping mad, and I certainly understand why, and I share his anger. And he has described the White House as in contempt of Congress, and he says after the recess he is going to huddle with colleagues and see what to do about it. Well, it's that last part that I find a little bit lame, because I believe that he should be joining the call very directly and loudly for impeachment of the Attorney General, and I have not heard Senator Leahy endorse H.R. 589.
I don't think it has as yet been introduced in the Senate. There's been some discussion. I thought I did remember him at one point saying that unless Gonzalez could provide some substantial documentation regarding some of his statements, that I think Senator Leahy said he felt he had committed perjury, but
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the current statement says.
Right.
But I think we should move forward in the House, and the House would act first, and then send the legislation to the Senate, is the way the impeachment process works.
So, right.
Hopefully, we can get John Conyers and others involved. There are still only 27 co-sponsors on this, so it's not exactly a tidal wave yet. But hopefully,
mm-hmm.
People coming home from their August recess, if they went home and talked to their constituents like I did, will be feeling the sense of outrage in the country and feeling that strong steps need to be taken.
Any Republican co-sponsors for this resolution to date?
No, but again, I think there have been a number who have called for his resignation or have voiced no confidence in him.
Mm-hmm.
I just recall that after some of the discussion about the U.S. attorney scandal. But no, as yet, no Republican co-sponsors.
Mm-hmm. And Congressman DeFazio, I understand from the same listener, and I want to hear it directly from you, that at the town hall meeting, you said that while you're sympathetic to impeachment of Cheney and Bush, that you don't think that it's sensible or practical, those were her words, at this time. Put it in your own words, what are your feelings toward impeachment of the president and vice president?
Well, first off, many of the things that people would most like to impeach them for, unfortunately, are things that are endorsed by the Republican Congress. For instance, most people will start off with the war. Congress authorized that war, and any member of Congress who tells you, gee, they were fooled by the Bush administration, don't buy it. They're a pretty dumb person if they were fooled by that. They just wanted to go along with what was then a very popular president and a very popular cause. in the country, which is to go to war with Iraq over the non-existent weapons of mass destruction, then people generally move from that to, say torture.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the torture actually was retroactively authorized by the Republican Congress in the lame duck session.
The Military Commissions Act.
So you go through those sorts of issues. That's sort of dealing with the articles and the legal basis. Beyond that, you get to the very practical. The articles that have been impeached are against Dick Cheney. Let's just launch off on a fantasy here. Let's say Dick Cheney was impeached and that 17 Republican senators chose to remove him from office. The next day, George Bush names a replacement. The replacement would most likely be someone who would be running for president. The one good thing about Dick Cheney is he isn't running for president. That could be Fred Thompson, Condoleezza Rice, Mitt Romney, whoever they thought could better protect the Bush legacy.
But that individual would have to be confirmed by the Senate, and a Fred Thompson would not be a slam dunk in that process.
He's a former senator. It's very... very uncommon, it would not be very long that we would go without a vice president.
Mm-hmm.
There would be a tremendous hue and cry if the Congress were to stall or, try and prolong the process. So, that's just not, beyond that, we wouldn't do anything for 5 months. I was there for the impeachment of William Jefferson Clinton. And I can tell you Congress didn't do anything else for 5 months. So for the next 5 months, we would basically suspend all the things we're trying to do to reverse the policies of the Bush administration. And there's a host of things that we've done and are doing, more in the House than the Senate, but some are going to move through the Senate, particularly in terms of funding bills, ultimately. And the president's threatening many vetoes. I can tell you we're not going to get a single Republican vote for an override of the president if we're in the middle of an impeachment process.
Mm-hmm.
So it would actually strengthen his hand in blocking the Congress from undoing some of the damage he has done and is doing to our country. So I just think for all practical purposes, the best route is get the Justice Department back, unleash special prosecutors, and see where all that leads.
And Congressman, I do respectfully disagree. I understand the points you make, and I think that they are certainly worth considering. But I believe the bigger picture is that we cannot consider this kind of accountability through the impeachment process to be optional. And given the triggers that we've seen and the incredible array of lawbreaking, of secrecy, of power grabbing by this administration, I believe that it's important, even if the process didn't go to full term and actually lead to removal of Cheney or, long shot removal of Bush, I believe that it would put the American people on record as clearly opposing the extremes of this neocon administration and trying to right the ship back to a constitutional course. And I think that, again, it's important to lay down these markers, set the parameters, and allow investigations to go forward, because we may find much more lawbreaking that would even be persuasive to the Republicans that we would need to conclude any successful impeachment process. And further, I believe that it would put the brakes on this administration and practically block them from any effort to attack Iran, which seems to be a high priority.
Well, I wish everything you said were true. First off, remember, since we don't have a Justice Department, they're refusing to honor our subpoenas. They're refusing to deliver documents. So the investigations aren't going to go very far. Secondly, I believe a failed impeachment process would actually strengthen the hand of this administration, bitterly divide the country, and again, would prevent us from reversing any of its policies in the shorter term, as I put forward. So we've got to disagree there. And no, it wouldn't stop them from attacking Iran. I wish that were so, but I brought up the issue of the Constitution of the United States and war powers on the floor of the House last spring, and I got, I think, almost 138 votes supporting the Constitution of war powers and saying the president needed congressional authority to attack Iran.
Mm-hmm.
That's very unfortunate.
All right, sir. We're going to take a break and return. We got some callers on the line who want to chat with you. Our guest is Democratic Congressman Peter DeFazio of Oregon, and I've got a line available for you. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for Tasty News shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
I told our people, get information without torture, and was assured by our Justice Department that we were not torturing.
And you need to know, they hate us because we love freedom.
Listen, we've never been stayed, of course, George.
And I think it's important in a time of war that to the extent possible we leave politics out of the major decisions being made.
However, we will not go along with a partisan fishing expedition aimed at honorable public servants. And I proposed a reasonable way to avoid an impasse.
Said was the Czech intelligence service reported after 9/11 that Atta had been in Prague on April 9th of 2001, where he allegedly met with an Iraqi intelligence official. We have never been able to confirm that, nor have we been able to knock it down.
It's been pretty well confirmed that he did go to Prague and he did meet with a senior official of the Iraqi intelligence service in Czechoslovakia last April.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest is Peter DeFazio, a Democratic congressman from Southern Oregon, and we're talking about the impeachment of Alberto Gonzalez and a discussion of the issues related to possible impeachment of the vice president and the president. We're joined now by Billy in Capitola. Billy, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, gentlemen. You know, I'm really not so much interested in the Democrats' political calculus. The last time, or let's just talk about one of the times you did some political calculus, and that was you voted to let this man take us to war. Really?
We knew he was lying. No, sir, I didn't vote for it, nor did a majority of the Democratic Congress in the House.
But it was clear that y'all didn't want to try to go to an election having not voted to support the war. Your seats
I went to the election
the
not
right
voting
thing.
For the war, as did two-thirds of the Democratic caucus. So
yeah,
you're a little out to lunch
on
that one.
So doesn't that tell you that your political calculus is wrong? Why don't you do what the Constitution demands of you?
Sir, you haven't made any sense. You said, since I voted against the war and two-thirds of the Democrats voted against the war and we went to war and the war was wrong, that our political calculus was wrong, therefore we should undertake a doomed-to-fail impeachment process. None of what you just said makes the slightest bit of sense to me, and it's factually inaccurate, so maybe we can move on to another caller.
Try to be a leader. Try to care more about the country than your seat. That's what I'm looking for from a Democrat.
All right, Billy, thank you very much. Daniel in Santa Cruz. Daniel, go right ahead with Congressman DeFazio.
Hello, Congressman. I'm not going to be critical of your work, but I would ask you to please take a look at some rationale. rationale by an attorney named Francis Boyle, and I will send that to you if you would please take the time to look through it, because it's a convincing argument for impeachment, and I believe it's your duty to proceed with impeachment proceedings. Thank you.
Sure.
All right, sir.
Email it on.
Okay, and what do you think here, Congressman, just about the attitudes, the perceptions that many people have that, you know, the Bush administration has gone through a speed trap, intentionally driving 140 miles an hour, and the Democrats are saying, well, not this time. We're not going to really enforce the law this time.
Well, again, you know, the offense, which most people find on the first caller there was ranting about, was the war. Two-thirds of Democrats voted against the war. Virtually every Republican, I think, except for 10, voted for it. It passed by a substantial margin. A large majority of the American public supported it. We went to war. It was authorized by the United States Congress. You know, I've sponsored legislation to take away the authorization. I tried to take away the authorization before the war was launched. But it was authorized. So that's not an impeachable offense. So you kind of, there are a lot of, there's tremendous damage been done that won't be undone in my lifetime by this administration to our nation domestically and internationally and the world community, but that's not an impeachable offense. You need specific impeachable offenses.
Dave in Eureka, you're next. Go right ahead with the congressman.
Well, Congressman DeFazio, I too have come to some very unpleasant conclusions regarding Congress right now. I look upon our White House as totally evil and corrupt beyond measure. I think I'm hearing you saying something to that order, but they are the fair-haired darlings of a lot of the big corporations that are war profiteering all over the place, and those same corporations are sharing a great deal of the money that they get with members of our Congress, and they look upon those not to hold them accountable. For me personally right now, any Congress member that is not signed on with Dennis Kucinich, I'm going to look with grave suspicion on that office. And what's the real reason? Why won't you do it?
Because it's not going to happen, sir. And we could spend the next 5 months dividing the country, making you and a few other people, you know, about 30% of the population, 35%, feel good during a process that's bound to fail. We could do nothing else. We could not get a single vote to override from any Republican anything that the president is threatening to veto, many things we want to do and change. And then we would be, you know, next January sitting there saying, well, Dick Cheney's still there. Or, no, better still, we replaced him with Condoleezza Rice or Fred Thompson or Mitt Romney, and they can be the next president of the United States. The end result here is, you know, and that's not going to happen because they're not 17 Republican senators are going to vote along with every Democrat and Joe Lieberman to impeach Dick Cheney. So, you know, I'm making a practical judgment here. I want to take on the president day in, day out on policies that I want to change, and including ending the war in Iraq.
Congressman, you've gotten a good sampling of the sentiment of our listeners, and rather than subject you to more calls, I'd like to ask for you to help me understand. I was out of the country in early August when the Democratic leadership permitted bills to go to the floor in both houses that legitimized the illegal spying that you and I talked about earlier by the NSA. How on earth did that happen?
It was pretty clever setup by the Bush administration. Since Mr. Boehner, the Republican minority leader, has talked about classified information, it's all out there now. There was a technical problem with monitoring foreign-to-foreign communications, which had not had to go through the FISA court. They needed a narrow fix. That narrow fix was negotiated by Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi with Mr. McConnell, the head of the National Intelligence Agency. And when he went back downtown, Karl Rove said, hey, no, I got a better idea. We can tell the American people we can't listen to anybody anywhere. We're going to be vulnerable to attack, and we don't want this narrow fix. We want, you know, this fantasy of bill that authorizes everything and anything that we might do if it relates to, in any vague way, the potential investigation.
And Congressman,
so the bottom line is, we voted on the narrow version in the House. We didn't get it two-thirds. The Senate voted on the narrow version. They got 43 votes.
Peter DeFazio, I'm out of time. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
You know, I The show on KRXA 540.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Ropp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective, here on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The National Football League suspends Michael Vick indefinitely.
Vick, guilty plea entered. He admits helping kill dogs. I'm Barry Bagnato in Washington.
An astronaut apology in Florida.
I would like her to know how very sorry I am about having frightened her in any way.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Jim Taylor. The NFL tells Michael Vick he is suspended indefinitely without pay. Vick's plea deal doesn't come down till Monday, but we do know more about it.
With an illegible squiggle that looks like a curvy M, Michael Vick signed the agreement that will likely send him to prison. He admits putting up most of the money for the Bad News Kennels dogfighting operation and, importantly, that he participated in killing dogs. CBS News senior legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
You can tell the agreement, the summary of facts, were carefully parsed word by word by lawyers to force Vick to admit as much as necessary to get the feds and the judge on board with the deal, but maybe not so much as to immediately doom Vick's chances of ever playing football again.
The summary of facts says gambling occurred up to thousands of dollars worth per match with money Vick provided. It specifically states Vick himself didn't bet or share proceeds. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Now this.
Can you guess where is Michelin Man? He's heading off-road to the daunting River of No Return. Fortunately, Michelin Man will return, because he has Michelin's new LTX AT2 tires, with class-leading off-road traction and smooth on-road comfort. For more on LTX AT2 tires and Michelin Man's whereabouts, visit michelinman.com/guesswhere. Plus, enter to win a Via Michelin GPS.
Michelin, a better way forward.
Claim based on internal Michelin off-road evaluation versus select competition. No purchase necessary. See website for claim and promotion details.
A mighty storm is brewing. Batten down the hatches. Bring in the mainsail. Tighten the hawser and lock down the booty.
Aye, aye, Captain. Yeah!
Arrgh, it's a mutiny.
Boys, get off your father. Time for dinner.
When you're properly prepared, a big storm can be a rather pleasant experience. Have a Farmers Insurance agent visit your home to assess potential storm risks and help keep property damage to a minimum. Get your free evaluation today. Call 1-800-FARMERS for a Farmers agent near you. Not available in all areas.
She says she's sorry in her first public appearance since allegedly going after a fellow astronaut.
Lisa Nowak asked a judge to let her take off that GPS ankle wrap, her reasoning part convenience, part safety, and having to replace dying batteries quickly, even while driving.
You have to pull over to attend to changing the battery and talking to the telephone that's on your ankle. You actually have to bring the ankle closer to your mouth.
That GPS also keeps her away from Colleen Shipman, who Nowak's accused of attacking.
Are you still afraid of Ms. Nowak?
Yes.
Do you want her taken off the ankle monitor?
Absolutely not.
Later in a brief statement to reporters, Nowak apologized to Shipman.
I would like her to know how very sorry I am about having frightened her in any way.
Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
He will be executed, the man who kidnapped, raped, and killed his 9-year-old neighbor, Jessica Lunsford. Florida Judge Rick Howard.
For the murder of Jessica Marie Lunsford, this court sentences you, John Vandercooey, to death.
Jessica's father, Mark Lunsford.
I'm grateful that the outcome was the way it is. But no matter what, it's not bringing my daughter back. What about these other kids? In Tallahassee, it's your job to give these people what they need.
Another top-ranking Republican breaks ranks with the administration. Congressman Peter Hoekstra says maybe it's time we start moving away from trying to whip some democracy onto the people of Iraq.
Maybe in the future they'll move to more democratic reforms, but as long as the tribal customs can provide the security and stability we need right now, we ought to stick with that.
I'm Mark Nola with the president in Crawford, Texas, where a spokesman politely rejects Hoekstra's recommendation.
making clear that Mr. Bush will not give up efforts to bolster the elected government in Iraq. In the White House view, hucksters like the critics of decades ago, who felt the U.S. could not bring democracy to Japan and South Korea, which now are, in the spokesman's words, incredible success stories in Asia.
Michigan Attorney Jeffrey Feiger indicted in a campaign finance case.
This is a Gestapo-like tactic, and it's going to be exposed further. The Democrats in Congress are already investigating this.
Best known as the former lawyer for assisted suicide advocate Jack Kevorkian, Feiger accused of trying to make an illegal contribution to the 2004 presidential campaign of John Edwards. Those floodwaters finally receding in much of the waterlogged Midwest, but Don Bold says he is not closing the relief shelter he supervises in Minnesota.
Some of the people may go to their home now and find out they can't live there. They may be coming back to us looking for some assistance.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
We wanted to move in 90 days, and that was our goal.
Selling a home can be a challenge.
I've been through this type of market before. I'm going to be there every step of the way to guide them through it.
Realtors I work with know the markets that they're in.
They know how to market it. They know how to sell it.
Interest rates are at historic lows, which means more buyers are in the market for a home like yours. Every market's different. Call a realtor today.
The market is always changing, and I'll always be ready for it.
Only realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Another how-to half minute from the Home Depot.
Oh, I know. We'll redo the kitchen or carpet the den. Of course, I'd love new appliances. I should ask Jerry, but he's so indecisive.
Expand your list of possibilities. Tackle any project now and get special deferred financing store-wide with your Home Depot consumer credit card. So pick your project.
The bathroom. No, landscaping. Yeah, no. Ooh, wait a minute.
The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Offer valid through August 26th in U.S. only. See store for details.
It's late August.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, 6 minutes past. Coming up next hour, we'll talk about election protection and issues regarding those pesky electronic voting machines. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com with us as usual. For this hour, we're going to get an update from a journalist who has spent quite a bit of time in Iraq and the Middle East over the last few years, Dar Jamail, a frequent contributor to our program and also to Democracy Now!, joins us on the program today. Hello, Dar. How are you doing?
Hi, Peter. Good to be here.
Well, there are many, many things that we'll try to jam into this hour, and the phone lines are open for people who would like to comment or ask questions. 888-5, Peter B. is our toll-free number, 888-573-8372. And I wanted to begin by validating some of the reporting that you've been doing for months now, trying to draw attention to the burgeoning Iraqi refugee crisis. And as part of its reporting on the recently released National Intelligence Estimate, the New York Times has finally moved this to the front page in Friday's paper. And they comment at some length on the issues related to this growing number of displaced Iraqis. And I just wanted to credit you because you have been working very hard to draw attention to this issue, and most of the mainstream media has been ignoring it.
Yeah, thanks very much. I appreciate that. And I did notice that the New York Times had finally given it some front-page attention, although at the same time I also noticed that the figures they're citing in their stories are quite low. They're very, very low-end figures, and in fact, UN figures are significantly higher than many of those that they quote, because if we look at the scope of the refugee crisis, again, it's one that Refugees International has labeled the fastest-growing refugee crisis on Earth, and they label it that because every month, just into Syria alone, there's between 30 and 50,000 Iraqis streaming across the border. Every day in Iraq, there's between 1 and 5,000 people being displaced from their homes every single day. We're looking at the internal number of refugees within Iraq now is pushing 3 million. It's nearly 3 million now.
Mm-hmm.
And externally, of people who have fled the country altogether, it's between 2.5 and 3 million people. These are all numbers backed by UN, UNHCR, and other international relief organizations. So we're looking at a refugee crisis now that's pushing 6 million people if we include the totality of those internally displaced within Iraq, as well as those who have fled the country altogether. And this is from a country whose total population when the invasion was launched was 27 million people. So 6 million out of 27 million, it's very staggering.
Mm-hmm. And, Dar, while I do commend the New York Times for getting the information, at least in some form, to the American people, I agree with you in criticizing them, and also they put it in context with the surge. And again, I think that when you read between the lines, it is a part of the spin program that's underway to not only justify the surge, but try to persuade the American people that it's actually having the desired effect. And, of course, while we can concede that when you put more troops in a given neighborhood, you can pacify it to some degree, we don't have enough troops to do that in every neighborhood in Baghdad, much less patrol the entire country of Iraq, even with this so-called surge. It was only 30,000 troops, and we have to put that in context. And here's a quote from the Times article today. The new findings suggest that while sectarian attacks have declined in some neighborhoods, the influx of troops and the intense fighting they have brought is at least partly responsible for what a report by the United Nations Migration Office calls the worst human displacement in Iraq's modern history. The findings also indicate that the sectarian tension the troops were meant to defuse is still intense in many places throughout Iraq. 63% of the Iraqis surveyed by the UN said they had fled their neighborhoods because of direct threats to their lives, and more than 25% because they had been forcibly removed from their homes. Now, that's called ethnic cleansing.
You're exactly right. And, you know, there's so many things. I mean, we could go through that Times article and pick it apart, deconstruct it, disassemble it, and really hold each part up to the light, and it would take several hours. But as far as the numerous things that the report fails to mention, as far as negative effects of the surge of soldiers in Iraq and how this is exacerbating the sectarian cleansing that's going on, as well as the fact that, you know, we cannot talk about death squads and militias and sectarian cleansing groups in Iraq without talking about U.S. backing of those same groups. That it was under John Negroponte's watch when he was the ambassador there that we had retired Colonel James Steele come in. His title is Counselor of Iraqi Security Forces, and they together ran a program through the Iraq Ministry of Interior where they were arming, backing, and sending out with marching orders members of the Badr organization, one of the larger Shia militias there, Kurdish Peshmerga groups, and even members of the Mahdi Army were literally working hand-in-hand with the U.S. military, going in and doing the dirty work while the U.S. military would be working perimeters in some of the neighborhoods. And this is how the death squads and the sectarian cleansing really got up and running. It was very much facilitated by the U.S., and, of course, all of this has been exacerbated by this so-called surge. And, of course, we're not going to see that reported in the New York Times either.
Well, and there are two key complications here I'd like you to comment on, Dar. Number one, in Al-Anbar province, we have been making unholy alliances with Sunni groups. We are arming them and giving them money. And like the warlords in Afghanistan, we have no assurance of how long their loyalties will last beyond the most recent payment and the most recent shipment of arms. Secondly, with the violence that's been visited upon the Yazidis in northern Iraq, close to the Syrian border, we see that when the U.S. Redeploys its forces inside Iraq as part of this surge to try to get control of Baghdad, that we lose control of these other parts, and that as soon as the locals know that we're gone or that our forces are diminished, they have no fear of the Iraqi defense forces unless they are Sunnis.
Well, you're exactly right, and those two points work very much together hand in hand. Taking the second one first, this is a phenomenon that's been described, I think, most aptly by one of the leading U.S. commanders on the ground in Iraq, who years ago described their counterinsurgency efforts and the occupation military operations that are ongoing as if it's like a military boot stamping on a water balloon that's only half full of water. That, yes, when the boot is there, there's no water there, but the water, of course, goes everywhere else. And that's exactly what happens every time they're running a massive U.S. military operation, whether it's in part of Baghdad or part of the entire country, that, of course, we just see the resistance spread everywhere else. And this has been the case from the very beginning and is happening now and will continue to happen in the future. And then regarding the situation, your first point of them arming Sunni militias and Sunni groups, Sunni resistance fighters, who even most of the U.S. Military personnel involved in these operations where they're trying to work with these Sunni groups, basically across the board, all of them are opposed to it, but of course they have to follow their orders, despite the fact that they feel very uneasy with giving arms and money and weapons to and ammunition to groups that they were literally sometimes fighting just a week ago. And so they're bringing in these groups, giving them this backing so they don't have to outright fight them. Theoretically, they're supposed to go after al-Qaeda together in Iraq. But the reality is that this is a policy that we've already seen instituted in Iraq. After the April 2004 U.S. siege of Fallujah, when the truce was reached because the U.S. couldn't take the city, they did the same thing. They armed and backed. They brought one of Saddam's old generals out of retirement. They gave put him in charge of a bunch of the fighters inside of Fallujah, gave them money, weapons, arms, walkie-talkies, pickup trucks, and then basically turned the city over to them, and it basically delayed what they would have to do is go back in November of that same year and have to retake the city at the expense of upwards of 5,000 dead civilians, hundreds of dead U.S. soldiers. And to this day, Fallujah does not remain under total control of the Americans. And so we have already seen how well this policy basically does not work.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I'm just thinking as you recount the history of Fallujah, I just feel the need to add that we used chemical weapons in part of our desperate effort to subdue the insurgents in that area as we virtually leveled the town. And the chemical weapons I'm referring to are is white phosphorus, and we have confirmed reports that it was not used simply to light up the sky and to illuminate a certain battle area, but that soldiers reported it was used in shake-and-bake mode, which essentially is a weaponizing of white phosphorus to use as a chemical weapon.
You're exactly right. White phosphorus was used, cluster bombs, all of these are illegal weapons according to the Geneva Conventions when used in an area where there could be civilians, which, of course, using them in a city, it's pretty safe to say there could be civilians there, particularly when the Pentagon itself admitted that between 30 and 50,000 people in Fallujah had remained in their homes during that second siege. But then yet again, talking about white phosphorus and as the chemical weapon used in Fallujah, even though the Pentagon itself admitted that, yes, we did use that weapon after enough evidence was produced to support that it was used, even after the Pentagon reported it, this would be another sore subject if we're talking about the New York Times and effects of having more troops in Iraq and having more military operations going on, is that to this day, the New York Times still has not reported that the U.S. has ever used white phosphorus. They haven't reported it as a news story that it was used in Fallujah.
Yeah. We're going to take a break and return. Dar Jamil is our guest. He's got a new easy-to-find web address. It's dahrdar.org. And that's where you can find his reporting and his colleagues' reporting from Iraq. Dar.org, D-A-H-R. Dar Jamil's with us this entire hour, so give us a call if you have a question or a comment about any of the developments related to Iraq. Our toll-free number is 888-573-8372, or it rolls off the tongue a little more easily, 1-888-5-PETER-B. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family,
The Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Happy Friday, everybody. Let's take a look at the very latest and start off with a problem being reported right now in, Santa Cruz Mountains. No problems to report there. I do have a problem on Morgan Hill, southbound 101 after Cochran, a three-vehicle crash. It's in the center divide. Really, things look pretty good. Some slow traffic southbound 1 out of Carmel, Monterey, but it's kind of off and on traffic there. Just a reminder that we do have, Salinas, Market Street between Monterey and Salinas Street. We have road construction. Expect delays in the area, and that's the word on that. This report brought to you by JCPenney's this Friday and Saturday, which will be today. It's JCPenney's lowest of the price season. Doors open as early as 7 a.m. Saturday. JCPenney, every day matters. That's a look at traffic here on KRXA.
Show rolls on. I want to give a shout out to our listeners in Portland, Oregon on 620 KPOJ. Great to have you listening. Our program is pre-recorded for your listening pleasure, which means you can't call in, but you can email me your comments and reactions. My email is peter@peterbcollins.com. And for our live listeners in Eureka, Monterey, Coos Bay, you can call in right now toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Our guest this hour is Dar Jamail, journalist who has covered Iraq and other parts of the Middle East with great credibility over the last few years. And when you're looking for an alternative to the mainstream media accounts that give you so little and often raise questions about just how much spin is involved,
Two websites. One is DAHR, D-A-H-R.org, and the other is JuanCole.com. Juan Cole is a professor at the University of Michigan who does a great job of keeping tabs on the daily developments related to our occupation of Iraq. Dar, next I want to turn to the powerful op-ed that was published this past Sunday in the New York Times. It was written by six or seven non-commissioned or just average service members. Most of them are sergeants. And it was powerful, beautifully written and very eloquent. But it really called into question so much of what we're hearing from, say, David Vitter, the senator from Louisiana, who ran away from his hooker scandal to visit Iraq and came back after a very brief visit with two thumbs up, saying the surge is working. And on the other side of the aisle, freshman Congressman Jerry McNerney, who we've invited on the program and hope to have on in the next few days, he came back and said that his mind had been spun a little bit. But when you read the war as we saw it, from these members of the 82nd Airborne, it's a very different view, and they make clear that there is not a military solution to the problems in Iraq.
Well, that's exactly right, and you know, it's who are you going to trust credibility-wise? You know, some of these outstanding fine citizens and political representatives you just described, or soldiers who's actually been over in Iraq and gone out on these patrols and been on the ground and spent month after month after month over extended periods of time seeing it firsthand, you know, who are you going to believe? Do the math. And the reality is, you know, I hope you do get some of these individuals on your show, and I would look forward to hearing them try to answer some of the questions that I'm sure you'll have for them, because I would be curious to have them explain, okay, if it's going great and things are getting better, then, A, why is there now nearly 5 million total refugees from Iraq, both internally and outside of the country? Why is it that, according to the most recent Oxfam report that came out less than a month ago, that 8 million Iraqis, so we're talking about basically one-third of the entire population of the country, is in dire need of emergency assistance? This basically means that they need food, water, medical attention, blankets, medical supplies quickly, otherwise they're going to start either dying of sickness or starving to death or from exposure to the elements. So that's one-third of the entire population of the country. If things are going better, why is that happening? Why is it that we have a situation where almost half of the entire population of the country is living in abject poverty? That means they're living on less than a dollar per day. Why is it child malnutrition has raised almost 10% since the invasion was launched? And that's even compared to the sanctions, when even according to the Clinton administration and the UN, over 500,000 Iraqi children died from malnutrition, and it's risen 10% since then. So I would like to ask some of those questions, and how exactly, what are the exact parameters they're using to define success?
Well, and again, it is illusory in many respects to take a snapshot, which is what is occurring. And on a good day, the administration, the Pentagon, takes a snapshot and then spins it as representative of the overall situation. And it is belied by the daily reports of deaths of American soldiers, of the incidents like the one with the Yazidis near Tal Afar about a week ago. Now the death toll is climbing north of 500. And these incidents go on virtually on a daily basis in various parts of the country. And so when I hear these reports from Republicans and some Democrats, we heard Hillary Clinton tell the VFW this week that, you know, the policy is working. It was just too late. Well, I'm sorry. That whole notion that she advanced is just false.
It's as simple as this, that the occupation was basically a failure just months after it began. Paul Bremer, who was head of the Coalition Provisional Authority, basically ensured its death, the occupation, that is, when he immediately disbanded the army, when immediately all of these contracts for reconstruction were handed over to Western companies like the Bechtels and the Halliburtons, and Iraqis weren't allowed to rebuild their own country. basically signed the death sentence right there.
Let's pause for a minute, Dara, and we'll return. We'll talk about the call from Levin and Warner to replace the Maliki government and many other issues, too. You can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored by Tourism Ireland. Discover your very own Ireland at discoverireland.com. This is Dave Ross. One thing everybody agrees on when it comes to homeland security is that you have to protect the ports. A nuclear bomb in a cargo container ruins almost everybody's day. And so Congress has taken decisive action, passing a law, which the president signed, to scan 100% of everything coming into the country. A law which everybody knows cannot be enforced. More after this from Charlie.
Thank you, Dave. I love to travel, you know, and I want to tell you about a place in Europe that's just waiting to be discovered, where breathtaking natural wonders leave even a seasoned traveler speechless. Ancient castles where you can live like a king. Bustling cities where culture, fine dining, and vibrant nightlife meet. The place is Ireland. Don't be surprised. In Ireland, not a day goes by without something new being discovered. Discover your very own Ireland at discoverireland.com or call 1-800-SHAMROCK for your free Ireland vacation planner.
I just peeked in your medicine cabinet.
Excuse me?
Yeah, wow.
I can explain.
How do you explain all those different pain relievers?
Oh, that. Well, I have one for headaches. I got another one when I hurt my back. And...
Stop. It's time to go all Advil. Advil is the every pain reliever.
Isn't there
something that's stronger or lasts longer? No.
So it'll work when my legs are sore from chasing down snoopers.
I suppose. Shouldn't you be all Advil?
Compared to OTC pain relievers, use as directed.
The best way to stop a terrorist bomb from being shipped to the U.S. is to intercept it before it gets on the ship. The U.S. imports 11 million containers a year, and right now less than 5% are being scanned, those being the most suspicious ones. But Congress decided that 5% leaves too much to chance, so it passed, and the president signed, a measure that requires every port shipping to the U.S. to scan every single cargo container headed here. And it's about time, you say. The only problem is, it won't be enforced. Because it can't be enforced. There aren't enough scanners available. And some of the scanners that are available still have a few bugs. It turns out, for example, that some perfectly innocent products emit naturally occurring radiation so that the alarm might be tripped by a shipment of kitty litter. I suppose you could use it for a dirty bomb if you had enough cats. But there are some things you just can't fight, and port security is one of them, enforceable or not. The Chamber of Commerce opposed it, shipping companies opposed it, foreign ports opposed it, and the president himself strongly opposed it. But he still signed it once it got to his desk because he had no choice. He was trapped by his own words. How many times has he said, we have to be right 100% of the time and the terrorists have to get lucky only once? You can't say that in speech after speech and then say, but we're only going to check 5% of the cargo and if we slip up and lose San Francisco, oh, well, that's life. You can't say that. Not while Nancy Pelosi is speaker, anyway. The Osgood File, Dave Ross, on the CBS Radio Network.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
UFO sightings can be life-changing. Join noted researchers with strange encounters of the first kind at the 9th Annual Bay Area UFO Expo, Saturday and Sunday, at the San Jose DoubleTree Inn. It's your chance to go above top secret. The truth shall set you free.
Unscripted and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
33 minutes after the hour as we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest is journalist Dar Jamail. He knows a lot about Iraq and the Middle East. Your calls and comments are welcome. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B.
Revolution never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrived like the morning. Ring the alarm, we come to wake up the snoring. They're telling you to never worry about the future. They're telling you to never worry about the torture. They're telling you that you will never see the horror. Spend it all today and we will build you tomorrow. Three pieces and bank accounts in Bahamas. Wall Street crime will never send you to the slammer. Tell all the children in the arms of the mamas. The F-15 is a homicide bomber.
Michael Franti and Spearhead, politically infused world beat there. The F-16 is a homicide bomber, and we've conducted a lot of air sorties over Iraq in the last few weeks. We'll get into that in just a bit as we continue with Dar Jamail here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Dar, I had to cut in there for the obligatory commercial break, and it's behind us now. And I don't know if you had finished your thoughts there. We were talking about the soldiers who wrote the op-ed, the reaction by various folks to it, and just the reality of the scene on the ground there.
Right. Basically, just my point that I was trying to make is simply that the occupation has been a dismal failure for years now, and that, you know, people like Hillary Clinton arguing that, well, this was a strategy that should have been implemented sooner, that we, you know, that she's going to manage the occupation better if she becomes president. Just the idea that there's anything left for the United States government to salvage out of the situation in Iraq is completely erroneous. It's a total failure. It's a catastrophe. There is nothing left to salvage. The only thing left to do is to honor the wishes of over 80% of the Iraqi population and over 72% of the U.S. soldiers serving inside of Iraq right now, and well over 60% of the American population, and that is a complete, unconditional, immediate withdrawal.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also one of the things we discussed on the program this week as a result of Hillary Clinton's fudging, I think, of the issue before the Veterans of Foreign Wars, is that many of us are so hungry, I'll say it, desperate, for a meaningful shift in our policies, that many lefties don't ask critical questions about the representations of the various Democratic presidential candidates, of what their version of redeployment or withdrawal from Iraq really means. And a lot of people, I think, engage in wishful thinking. These folks, no matter who your favorite Democratic presidential candidate is, to me, Dennis Kucinich is the one who has the very explicit plan for removal of American forces from the occupation of Iraq. And Bill Richardson maintains that, you know, he would remove every soldier starting on his first day in office. That's not too equivocal, but the rest of them have rather fudged, nuanced positions, including Barack Obama, who calls for, you know, long-term commitment of some American troops well into the future.
I think that's a critical point, and I hope that that's one that continues to be brought up, not just on your show, but on other programs around the country between now and the actual elections in 08, because the reality is exactly as you said, that there's literally one or two candidates that are willing to pull out all of the troops right away without condition. And all of the others, particularly those that are expected to probably be those acquiring the nomination, someone like Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama, you know, their policy is just what we were talking about earlier, is a continuance of the occupation, maybe draw down some of the troops, put them more in the bases instead of having them in the streets, this kind of thing. And I think that, you know, that basically would just ensure permanent occupation, which the bases are there. The U.S. Embassy that's been being constructed is slated and on schedule to open up next month, a $1 billion a year operating budget just for that alone. not even talking about the at least six other mega bases there in Iraq. And this is permanent infrastructure the U.S. military has there, thanks to the U.S. government, and it's not going anywhere. And it is going to take a radical redirection in the U.S. foreign policy, not just in Iraq, but in the entire Middle East. And short of the few or two candidates that you mentioned that are willing to do what's necessary to make that shift happen, we can just expect more of the same if people are locked into this idea of voting once again for the lesser of two evils.
And, Dar, I'd like to turn now to some commentary that we heard this week from two leading members of the United States Senate. They are respectively the chair and the ranking Republican on the House Armed Services Committee. Carl Levin of Michigan and John Warner of Virginia took a trip to Iraq and then came back. And the first thing they did was issue a statement calling for the ouster of Prime Minister al-Maliki. And I want to talk about that because while I understand the point they were making, I think that it is fraught with risk, the way they delivered that message. Then later in the week, Senator Warner made a very interesting speech where he threw down the gauntlet to the Bush administration. And while separating himself from the Democrats in the Senate who want to impose standards, timelines, benchmarks on the administration, he is counseling the White House to start a withdrawal program, and he was kind of loosey-goosey about it. He said, you decide on the numbers. You know, 5,000 sounds like a good start for me. And he wants those 5,000 to be home by Christmas. Well, that's simply PR. That's not a significant rollback of the alleged surge. It doesn't put a major dent in the estimated 160,000 uniform members, doesn't address the contractors in any way, shape, or form. And so it's just kind of window dressing, in my opinion. Yet it is significant that a Republican of Warner's stature, who was Navy Secretary, survived a marriage to Elizabeth Taylor, that he has stepped forward to say this. So, first of all, your take on the Warner statement.
Well, again, I agree with what you mentioned. It's really being window dressing. That, you know, it is, you know, I think we could kind of glean maybe a little bit of hope that it is a Republican making these kinds of statements. But, you know, I tend to be more critical, big shocker there, and really see it for what it is. As you mentioned, is just window dressing and something that can be used very effectively for propaganda, especially during the lead-up to the presidential election here in 2008. In reality, you know, pulling out 5,000, 10,000, even 30,000 soldiers isn't going to matter, because if we pulled out 30,000 soldiers right now, we're basically just back down to pre-surge levels. And then, as you said, that doesn't even address the unaccountable numbers of the private contractors working in Iraq, which right now, if you include all of the support contractors as well as the mercenaries, number just about 1-to-1 for U.S. soldiers. So if we talk about 160,000 soldiers, if we include contractors, we're talking about over 300,000 occupation force personnel on the ground right now in Iraq. So pulling out 5,000, 10,000, even 30,000, it's really just not going to make that big of a difference.
And, Dar, to the earlier joint statement that came from Levin and Warner in the first part of the week, again, I understand the premise that our hand-picked puppet prime minister in Baghdad is not doing so well with the reconciliation tasks that we've assigned him, with the oil grab tasks that we've assigned him. And, you know, the drumbeat has built, starting with Levin and Warner, and even the president slipped into it and then tried to correct himself the next day by saying that the Iraqi people will ultimately decide whether Maliki stays or not. I think it's dangerous for Americans at this point to publicly advocate for certain activities by the Iraqi parliament or its government, because it flies in the face of our phony representation that this is a sovereign nation with an independent government. And secondly, it was Robert Perry, who was on our program and offered his interesting analysis, that in doing this, Carl Levin is really giving the Bush administration a green light to replace Maliki and buy another 6 months to a year of the occupation at current troop levels.
And that may very well be the plan. I very much agree with that analysis, and I think that something is in the works along those lines. And let's keep in mind, it's very funny, and yet here we can catch Mr. Bush again in one of his amazingly hypocritical statements of saying that, yes, well, now when he backed off and said, well, this is up to the Iraqi people to decide whether Maliki stays or goes. And the irony and the hypocrisy of this is that it would actually be the first time that the Iraqi people were able, or allowed, I should say, to decide whether Maliki stays or goes, because they had no voice whatsoever in him becoming prime minister. Because, we don't have to go back very far in history to look at the fact that after the Iraqi government was voted into power, and then it was that government's decision to elect a prime minister, and they did not choose Maliki. They chose Ibrahim Jafari.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was pushed out when Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and her UK counterpart, Jack Straw, went over to Baghdad. A few days later, Jafari was out, Maliki was in. So he was not democratically elected in any sense of the word. So basically they're talking about taking one U.S.-UK installed puppet out. And right now there actually is a very big Republican-backed effort, well-funded campaign in works right now to have the former interim prime minister of Iraq, Iyad Alawi, be the next prime minister. So they're already grooming him to be the next person that they're going to insert. And so, yeah, once again, overall, I like to underscore the fact that it's just rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. All is lost in Iraq. It's not going to matter who is prime minister. But as you said, and I think very accurately, it's just something else they can do to buy another 6 months. Because, you know, we're coming up now on the report of next month in September by General Petraeus and Ryan Crocker to Congress. And that report's probably going to be given on September 11th, talking about the positive effects of the surge. So then they're going to need something else that they can look to buy another 6 months down the road. And this is just how it's going to go indefinitely.
Well, and the Democratic leaders of the House and Senate should adjourn on September 11th in honor of those who died in the attacks on our country, however they actually happened, and deny them the photo op and the linkage to 9/11. And this is not something that's just accidental or even subtle, because Ari Fleischer is leading this swift boat-like group that's going to spend $15 million on propaganda TV commercials that explicitly link a soldier who lost his legs in the war in Iraq and who says that it would be an insult to him and others to end this war prematurely. And they then link it using photographs of the attacks on the World Trade Centers on 9/11. And this is something that needs to be roundly rejected by Democrats and by the media, which, of course, has done nothing except to promote Ari Fleischer and this bogus campaign. And Fleischer was on MSNBC the other night, Mike Barnicle sitting in for Matthews, and he could not even give us the name of the soldier whose story they are exploiting and falsely linking to the events of 9/11. It is so insulting and so wrong-headed. It makes Bush's speech, linking Iraq and Vietnam seem minor in comparison.
It is. It's astounding. You know, it's. I have to put this out there. One of the experiences I had when I was in Iraq, at one point, me and a couple of other independent journalists were sitting in our hotel room in Baghdad. This was back during the summer of 2004, during the April siege of Fallujah. And, you know, it was just one preposterous quote and claim after another coming out of the Bush administration or their the interim prime minister, Iyad Alawi, who's a CIA asset, I should add.
Yes.
And one claim after another, just completely bogus, not based in fact or reality whatsoever. So me and my two colleagues came up with a thing called a Can't Make This Stuff Up Club, that it's so absolutely preposterous that if you were writing a novel and tried to make up absurd government statements, you just couldn't make this stuff up. And everything you just talked about, I think, would have to be, it would definitely qualify for that club.
We're going to take a break and return. Dar Jamail with us. Visit his website, dahrdar.org. We've got room for your call if you want to join us. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, or email me, humblehost@peterbcollins.com.
As long as there's been man, there have been UFO sightings. The Bible speaks of UFOs. People report sightings daily, so why doesn't this information make the news? Find out at the Bay Area UFO Expo, San Jose Doubletree Inn. Over 80 exhibitors, hosts, Jordan Maxwell, George Norrie, Jesse Marcel Jr., John Lear, Sean David Morton, and others cover subjects including UFOs, Sasquatch, Kabbalistic healings, ET encounters, Tesla technology, Earth mysteries, and much more. The 9th annual Bay Area UFO Expo.com at the San Jose Doubletree Inn this Saturday, Sunday, August 25th, 26th. Your chance to go above top secret at the Bay Area UFO Expo.com.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Well, everybody, happy Friday. Let's take a look at the latest traffic-wise, and we are going to get you up to date with a problem working, if it's still working. CHP telling us about a problem in Live Oak, Capitol Road at Schooner Court, SUV and a pickup truck involved in the crash. Also, Salinas, Old Stage Road at Spence Road, injury crash. Don't have any directions as of this port. In fact, this one just coming in from CHP. We're going to take a look at Soquel. Northbound one at Park Avenue, fender in the left lane, large piece of wood in the middle lanes. Watsonville, Highway 1 at Pajaro River, a big bundle of cardboard boxes in the middle lane. Gilroy, Highway 156 at 152, wood debris in the lanes there. And the driver's apparently having to swerve around that particular problem. And this report brought to you by Purell with Aloe Hand Sanitizer.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest is journalist Dar Jamail. Again, his website is dar.org, dahr.org. And on September 6th, Dar will be appearing in Healdsburg in Sonoma County, California, with Norman Solomon, whose film War Made Easy has just gotten a theatrical release and extended its reach to people. Go to warmadeeasythemovie.org to get more information. I think you can download some segments there. And also there's a chance to get the DVD and hold some house parties yourselves. It's a powerful piece. We talked about it earlier this week with Jeff Cohen about the way CNN's Eason Jordan went to the Pentagon to get approval for the rent-a-generals that they put on TV to offer that spin and propaganda during the invasion of Iraq. So that's a powerful piece that you ought to see. And if you can join them in Healdsburg, that's coming up on September the 6th. Dar, I wanted to turn next to a press conference that occurred about a week ago. Lieutenant General Ray Odierno offered up some comments. One of the things that he reported was a very interesting kind of fudged statistic. He said that in July, 52% of the attacks on American forces came from Al-Qaeda and Sunni insurgents. And I'd like you to tell me just what that statistic means or what it lacks in any kind of meaningfulness, because I'm highly suspicious of the way that figure was cobbled together.
Right. I think the first glaring thing that stands out to me regarding that statistic is there's an ongoing and concerted effort being made by the Bush administration and the military and propagated by the media to group together resistance fighters in Iraq with Al-Qaeda as if they're one and the same thing. And the reality is they're not the same thing. They're completely different. They are actually fighting more against each other now than they are even fighting against the occupation forces. The legitimate nationalist resistance groups in Iraq are fighting to kick out all foreign occupiers of their country. So that includes the biggest foreign occupier of their country, which would be the U.S. and U.K. forces and the mercenaries. But it also does include foreign fighters coming in, for example, from Afghanistan, from Jordan, from Saudi Arabia, from places like this. That are actually Al-Qaeda related forces. So we have documented evidence even by the U.S. military itself, much documented evidence over the last 2 years at least, showing that Sunni resistance groups are actually consistently fighting against Al-Qaeda fighters. In fact, that is one of the reasons being given by General Petraeus for this new program where the U.S. military is working directly with Sunni militias now so that they will send these people to go out after and fight Al-Qaeda, because they can actually do a better job fighting Al-Qaeda that is entering Iraq than the U.S. military itself. So it's a very, very misleading figure. Again, it's glomming together two groups that have absolutely nothing to do with each other.
Yeah.
And the reality is that it, of course, conveniently overlooks the fact that across southern Iraq right now, virtually all of the attacks occurring against occupation forces are being carried out by Shia militias.
And, Dar, at your website, you have a story that was dispatched from Baghdad on August 22nd from your colleague Ali al-Fadili. And he reports on the other side, the receiving end of Operation Phantom Strike, which is what Odierno announced. And he reports that on August 19th, the air power summary from the U.S. Air Force showed a B-1 bomber destroyed three buildings in Baghdad. F-16s dropped guided munitions and fired cannon rounds in Baghdad and Iskandaria. And a total of 68 air support missions were flown in Iraq that day alone. Now, this suggests a much more active, robust, aggressive set of operations by American forces than just patrolling neighborhoods in Baghdad with the so-called surge forces.
That's exactly right. You know, one thing that is almost always overlooked in the mainstream media is the dramatic escalation in air power being used in Iraq, and I think it's a direct correlation to how much the situation on the ground has gone completely out of control, where the U.S. military, the Air Force, the Navy are all flying five times as many more missions during the first 6 months of this year as compared to the first 6 months of last year. Mm-hmm. At any given time in the skies above Iraq, U.S. military is tracking at least 100 different U.S. military planes at any given second, day or night, over Iraq. So that gives you an idea of the amount of air power being used as well. It's really, I think, important that people really remember the fact that the U.S. military has already lost the situation in Iraq, and everything that's being done at this point is basically PR, trying to spin the situation into some sort of positive propaganda that the Bush administration can use in order to obtain a continuance of the occupation.
Well, Dar, I want to thank you for joining us. We could cover much more, but we need a couple of more hours. I want to direct people to your website again at dahr.org, dar.org, where they can link up with some of your recent reporting. Thank you very much, and we'll stay in touch.
Always a pleasure, Peter. Thank you.
Dar Jamail here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're going to take a break and return after the top of the hour news. Brad Friedman will be with us next hour to talk about election issues, electronic voting machines, and a tragic situation in Florida where three people are dead related to the flap over voting and voting election fraud. Not voter fraud, election fraud. We'll take that up after the break. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Our website is peterbcollins.com. Liz Curtis is taking your call.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with crumbs stew. A side of couscous and a bite of ganoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery.
In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. Dogfighting quarterback Michael Vick already being punished, suspended without pay from the NFL indefinitely. He hasn't even been sentenced in a court of law yet. Here's CBS's Barry Bagnato.
Vick's sentencing status has been hurt by his admission that he helped kill dogs. The plea agreement states that the facts relating to the victimization and killing of pit bulls create aggravating circumstances. The judge also will likely place plenty of weight on the fact that Vick put up most of the money for Bad News Kennels, including for gambling connected to the dogfights, although the summary of facts states the NFL star himself didn't bet or receive any of the proceeds.
Court appearance Monday morning. The man who killed a 9-year-old girl in Florida sentenced to die today, Judge Rick Howard.
He secured the victim. He kept her secreted from detection. He obtained the implements for her disposal, such as bag, shovel, and rake. He chose the burial location. He chose the burial time, and he dug the hole.
A court appearance today for the former astronaut caught up in a NASA love triangle.
Lisa Nowak asked the judge to remove a GPS ankle wrap that keeps her from getting even close to her intended victim, Colleen Shipman. She says she'll stay away and...
I'll abide by all the court orders that went along with wearing the unit and any additional ones that they wish to... on.
The prosecutor asked Shipman,
did it still make you feel better that you knew that she couldn't come near you or be around you?
Absolutely. When I'm home alone and there's nobody there with me, it is a comfort.
When asked if she was still afraid of Nowak, Shipman replied, yes. Did she want her taken off the ankle monitor? Absolutely not. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
It may be receding, but what's left behind those Midwestern floodwaters is often misery. In Chicago today, Mark Everson, president of the American Red Cross.
I was in a mobile home this morning, very fine woman. She's in her 60s. She and her husband, they've lost everything. The water was chest high.
When that bridge collapsed in Minneapolis 3 weeks ago, frantic phone calls to 911 were made. Tapes of those calls released today.
Minneapolis 911.
Yes, I was on the bridge that just collapsed.
Okay, are you hurt?
I'm in the middle. I'm not bad. I'm in the middle of the river, though.
You're in the middle of the river? Are you in a car?
Yeah, no, I'm out of the car.
Okay. Are you floating in the river then?
No, I'm on like a little island part in the middle. There's a lot of people here too, and I think there could be people trapped in cars is what I'm really worried about.
13 people died in the collapse of the I-35 bridge. Jeffrey Figer feels honored in a way.
They only had 50 FBI agents in Afghanistan. They had 100 at my office.
The attorney who once represented assisted suicide advocate Jack Kevorkian indicted on charges of illegally contributing to the 2004 presidential campaign of John Edwards. Tonight's Mega Millions jackpot could be $201
million. Hi. How many?
Take a couple. Tomorrow's Powerball game could be worth $300 million. Nice week on Wall Street. The Dow up 300 points for the week, 143 of them today, ending at 13,378. This is CBS News.
Another how-to half minute from the Home Depot.
So what do you want to do this weekend?
The dining room.
You want to do the dining room?
You're right. We should do the kitchen first, then the dining room.
What just happened?
Nothing inspires a weekend project faster than getting $5 off all 1 gallon cans of Glidden Evermore paint and even $5 off all Ralph Lauren paint by mail-in rebate.
Bathroom too?
Why not? The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid through August 29th in U.S. only. Void where prohibited. See store for details.
You've reached Pearson Incorporated. For Matt Pearson Sales, press 1. For Matt Pearson Accounting, press 1. For Matt Pearson Human Resources, press 1.
At Aflac, we know things are different in small companies. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. With Aflac SB, your small business can have the same Aflac products and service the big guys get at no direct cost to you.
For Matt Pearce in a state of exhaustion, press 1.
To learn more, call 800-99-AFLAC or visit AflacSB.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
The American tourist. Are we easy to spot or what?
They've had all summer to check out travelers. European hotel managers polled by Expedia.com say the Japanese are the most polite. Americans rank third, though we are the best tippers, and we do tend to try when it comes to the local language and cuisine. When traveling, the Italians are the most dapper looking. Americans apparently don't put much stock in fashion because sometimes we favor flying in sweatpants or wearing white socks with sandals.
Oh, it looks good on you, though.
As a result, as vacationers, we are rated the worst dressed. Dave Barrett, CBS News.
Nice Hawaiian shirt you got there, Dave. David Hasselhoff was not drunk, not when Celebrity Magazine OK said he was. The actor, occasionally excessive drinking, has been well chronicled. He sued and won what are called substantial libel damages over reports he was drunk and abusive at an L.A. nightclub after winning a custody battle. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Can you guess where's Michelin Man? He's heading off-road to the daunting River of No Return. Fortunately, Michelin Man will return because he has Michelin's new LTX AT2 tires with class-leading off-road traction and smooth on-road comfort. For more on LTX AT2 tires and Michelin Man's whereabouts, visit michelinman.com/guesswhere. Plus, enter to win a Via Michelin GPS.
Michelin. A better way forward.
Claim based on internal Michelin off-road evaluation versus select competition. No purchase necessary. See website for claim and promotion details.
A mighty storm is brewing. Batten down the hatches. Bring in the mainsail. Tighten the hawser and lock down the booty.
Aye, aye, Captain. Yeah!
Arrgh, it's a mutiny.
Boys, get off your father. Time for dinner.
When you're properly prepared, a big storm can be a rather pleasant experience. Have a Farmers Insurance agent visit your home to assess potential storm risks and help keep property damage to a minimum. Get your free evaluation today. Call 1-800-FARMERS for a Farmers agent near you. Not available in all areas.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
Are you ready? Are you steady? Let's go! Got the Peter B. Collins Show beaming to you from San Francisco.
Ready, steady, go!
Every week at this time, we check in with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. He's our go-to guy on election integrity, election protection, and those pesky electronic voting machines. Let's turn them all into...
Ready, steady, go!
PS2s or something. PS3, one of those. And Brad checks in again today from St. Louis, Missouri, where he was born. And he goes there every summer to get back in touch with the humidity that he misses so much on the left coast.
Actually, I'm not even in St. Louis, Missouri.
I lied. Where are you today?
I am now somewhere in Kansas. Trying to figure out what's wrong with it. We're heading back west. It's still going to be a while before we get all the way there, but we have left Missouri.
Oh, well, I'm happy for you, and we'll call Tom Frank, the author of What's the Matter with Kansas, to see if he can help navigate you through there.
Thank you. I could use it.
And didn't you have some sort of a win-win situation last year driving through Kansas where somebody came to your rescue?
Oh, that's right. Our car broke down in the middle of nowhere, and we met some good folks in Kansas. Good memory. We met some good folks in Kansas, literally out in the middle of nowhere, and they took care of us. Let's hope it doesn't happen again. We already had to replace our radiator in St. Louis in the 100-plus degree heat, so let's hope we make it back in one piece this time.
Well, maybe we ought to take up a collection and lease you a flashy new Bradmobile.
We could probably use it.
Well, Brad, there's a lot going on in the election issues this week, and I want to dive into it. But we left our listeners hanging last week, and you were going to fill us in on an episode that you had at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch.
Oh, yes, that's right. In fact, I was honored to be invited to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, the once great paper founded by Joseph Pulitzer back in, 1878. And they called me out of the blue and invited me in to meet with the editorial board. I was very happy because this, like so many papers, unfortunately, is, not doing the job of what we need them to do as the Fourth Estate, and they're not covering these issues. I'm hoping that's going to change after talking to them. But I did read, I did see something very interesting as I left that meeting and covered it a little bit on the blog. But I thought it was quite notable. It was a quote from Joseph Pulitzer in 1904, and it's actually the writing is on the wall, quite literally, at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch in the lobby where they've got this quote. When you leave the elevators, you can't help but see it, and it got me thinking about what's really going on today in our world. If I could read it, just a couple of sentences here. Pulitzer said in 1904, "Our republic and its press will rise or fall together. An able, disinterested, public-spirited press with trained intelligence to know the right and courage to do it can preserve that public virtue without which popular government is a sham and a mockery. A cynical, mercenary, demagogic press will produce in time a people as base as itself. The power to mold the future of the republic will be in the hands of the journalists of future generations." And I think, that got me thinking, and I wonder if the folks at the Post-Dispatch read that quote every now and again. And, as we look at our media right now, which is falling, I should suggest, the quote about our republic and its press will rise or fall together, it struck me. And it also got me thinking, a lot of folks have, from time to time, I've been criticized for not being, politic enough for today's quote-unquote fair and balanced media. But when you read Joseph Pulitzer in 1904 talking about cynicism and mercenary and demagogic press and making a mockery and a sham of the entire process, well, it sort of bucked up my spirits and told me, you know what, I'm on the right track here. I'm going to keep doing this. I'm going to keep using the language as I see fit and calling out the bad guys for what they are, which unfortunately these days is too frequently they are just liars and cretins and snake oil salesmen. And I think we ought to be calling those shots, as we see them, instead of this fair and balanced nonsense where there's one side of the issue says this, the other side says this, and you decide, especially when one side of the issue is so frequently just lying and, frankly, defrauding America. So,
well, and you point out on the Brad blog the dissembling of the president this week in this bizarre speech that he gave to the VFW, where he tries to rewrite the history post-Vietnam and just twist it all up to use for his current purposes, counting on the knowledge that many Americans don't know diddly about what really happened after we were forced out of Vietnam from the roof of the embassy on helicopters, if people remember, and that there wasn't a choice for us to stay, and that the deaths in Cambodia and Laos following our departure really had more to do with the corrupt policies than whether we had stayed in Vietnam or not. And, he gets away with it by saying that there are honest disagreements about what happened after Vietnam. Well, no, there are facts. There are not honest disagreements, and it's just wishful thinking on the part of some warriors that, oh, if we just could have nuked them and leveled the country, we would have won.
Right. Well, and that, and by the way, credit where it's due, that was from John Ponder of the Pensito Review, who's been doing some guest blogging at Brad Blog. But you're absolutely right, and it underscores, you know, this notion of if you can turn anything into a quote-unquote honest debate about this or that, then in fact the bad guys win. And this is where Fox News, you know, came out of nowhere with this fair and balanced nonsense, figuring that, well, if you can turn the bad guy's argument into one half of the argument and the truth is somewhere in between, well, you know, all that does, all balance does, is level an unlevel playing field for the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
And in that report with Bush addressing the VFW, and by the way, we were just a few blocks away in Kansas City at the time he made that speech, but, you know, the press comes out and reports what it was that quote-unquote President George Bush said today. They didn't report the fact that, you know, no one after all of these years has ever, you know, had a record of this guy actually serving appropriately in the Tennessee National Guard, of getting an honorable discharge, or even his comments just a few months ago when he was asked about comparisons to Vietnam. And he sat there with a look on his face and said, no, I don't see any comparison at all to Vietnam. It's got nothing to do with it.
Now, Brad, back there in St. Louis at the Post-Dispatch, is that paper still owned by the Pulitzer family, or has it been the Wall Street Journal and others, have the family sold out?
Yeah, unfortunately, and I think it may have even been just a few months ago, it apparently was sold out to a consortium, a corporate group, as I understand it, because I actually, when I was speaking last week in St. Louis, and we had a terrific house, we had a packed house, didn't have any of those reporters who I spoke with on the editorial board at the Post-Dispatch come out, but one of, I don't want to get anybody in trouble here, but someone else from the paper came out, and I don't think they were coming out to cover the event. I think they were coming out because they were interested in the event, and in fact, the person that I spoke to afterwards said, Brad, you're absolutely right about the Post-Dispatch. And it is not necessarily the editorial board here that's the problem. It's the corporate ownership. There are certain things they just don't want these people to write about. And, you know, we see that problem all over the place. It is the corporate ownership of these newspapers, of these magazines, you know, that is killing this country because, as Pulitzer said, our Republic and its press will rise or fall together. And we had a story this afternoon about the Air America station in San Diego,
mm-hmm.
the only progressive voice on the air in San Diego, KLSD, and it looks like their corporate owners, Clear Channel, are going to be shutting it down and flipping it over to a sports format. Well, you know, there goes anything that even resembles balance once again in the Republic of San Diego, as I like to call it.
Well, and there are four right-wing talk stations there already, so who needs a liberal?
Yeah, right.
And Brad, we did kick off our show today with Aldous Tyler from Nonstop Radio. He led the charge to keep progressive radio on the air in Madison, Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
and also John Elliott of Air America, who got his start there at KLSD.
Good.
And they're working on a rally for this Monday morning drive time to draw attention to the support that listeners have and that advertisers have for the progressive talk format there. So we're hoping that people will coalesce and that our listeners will get active and help support that effort.
Yeah, and isn't it odd, by the way, with all of the supposed conservatives out there and Fox News fans who are fighting so much for fair and balance in the media, gosh, why isn't Fox News or all of those conservatives getting on board and yelling and screaming for them to keep Air America on the air in San Diego so there will be some kind of balance? For some reason, it seems like those people really don't want balance after all, Peter.
Oh, it's because their chore, their mission is to balance the liberal media, even though it doesn't really exist to a great degree.
When you find it, let me know.
We're going to take a break and return with Brad Friedman. There's mayhem in Florida that's connected to election rigging and electronic voting machines. We'll get the details on that. Also, more on Deborah Bowen's top-to-bottom review of election processes in California. And next week, we've got an election official who will join us here on this broadcast. We'll tell you about it next. You can call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show.
commuting an hour or more every day so you can make money for somebody else? Would you like to build a successful home-based business? Let Tanya Simmons show you how. Attend the CyberWise Opportunity Rally on Saturday, August 25th at 1:30 p.m. The CyberWise Opportunity Rally will be held at the Valley Center Bowl in Salinas. Call John Gaines at 831-229-2546 to reserve your place at the CyberWise Opportunity Rally. Call John Gaines now at 229-2546. That number again is 229-2546.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Hi, this is Paul.
And Cynthia.
Of the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden. And we'd like to thank you for supporting this locally owned and operated Carmel business for nearly 40 years.
Nestled in Carmel by the Sea, the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden occupy a beautiful space on Dolores between 5th and 6th, showcasing an array of books on local interests, new releases, bestsellers, novels, children's, metaphysical, and much more. Plus, you'll enjoy taking a good look at our music, healing tools, cards, statuary, fountains, and more.
Proud to be a part of the Carmel business community, we invite you to see us soon.
Pilgrim's Way offers one-on-one intuitive counseling in the bookstore. You may call ahead for an appointment or just walk in. Whether you're a local resident or a visitor to our beautiful peninsula, we have something for everyone.
The Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, between 5th and 6th on Dolores.
Discover an imaginative adventure. Pick up a good read at the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Cornucopia Natural Foods Carmel, Carmel Valley Market, and Staff of Life and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Hey, hello, everybody. Let's take a look at the very latest traffic-wise. All right, Aptos, southbound 1 after Rio Del Mar. A rake. That's right, a rake in the middle lane. Oh, boy. Felton Highway 9 after Graham Hill. We have an accident reported there. What I can tell you, it is near. It's actually near Old Big Trees Road. It's a solo spin-out, and it's stuck in the turnout as well, which is a rather interesting situation. Also want to take a look at San Martin, East San Martin Avenue, a new object. At New Avenue, we have an object in the roadway. It's some wire down in the roadway at this point. Also mentioning a Salinas Old Stage at Spence, injury crash being reported. A tow truck is on the way to the scene there for an overturned vehicle into a ditch. Support brought to you by Realty World. Realty World, where the right agent makes the right web, makes all the difference in the world. Visit ehomeresearch.com today.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, rocking down the highway. That's Steve Miller and my pal Norton Buffalo on the harmonica. We continue our weekly visit with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. If you've never been to Bradblog, you've got to stop by. It's a great compendium of news items, largely centered on election issues, but not limited to that. And I want to put in a plug. Brad didn't ask me to do this, but there's a box up on the website right now offering you the opportunity to contribute to help support investigations at Bradblog and, I guess, Velvet Revolution US, too. Is that right?
Well, in this case, this would just go to the folks at Brad Blog.
Okay. And do you have a goal in mind, a certain amount of money you need, or is it just everything helps?
Frankly, everything helps. It's been an expensive trip, and I think a lot of people don't understand that I do this on my own dime. When I speak around the country, nobody's paying me to do so. We have no corporate or foundational sponsorship for Brad Blog. It's really up to the readers to keep us going, and it's important, especially what we were talking about before with the corporate ownership of all the rest of the media. So it is helpful if folks can pitch in anywhere, from $5 to $5,000. Why, we'll take it to keep going.
Dave in the Pinnacles joins us. Hello, Dave. You're on the air.
Well, hi, guys. And I'll try to dig up that $5, Brad.
I'll take it.
I really appreciate what you do, man. I mean, you're really a killer dude, and you're doing it.
Thanks, brother.
Hey, I'd like to bounce off of both of you guys, and it's an idea I think I kind of reiterated here on the radio a couple of weeks ago. Some guy called in, and I thought it was a fantastic idea the more I thought about it, and that is do away with the primary system. Go to a general election. Then it's like the intangible of the unknowns not knowing, man. The corporations would have a hell of a time then.
Well, you make an interesting point. We certainly have a system that's out of control each state now tries to leapfrog ahead of the others.
Yeah.
And some people, are ready to have the primary last week in order to be first in the nation. And while I do think the system has been flawed with Iowa and New Hampshire going first, and I'm not so thrilled with the choices that we've had coming out of those primaries in the past, we have now a system that's so jumbled up and jammed together that it comes down to money and name recognition. These candidates will not be able to operate in 20 states simultaneously, so it defaults to negative ads on television.
And well, give us your thoughts on the no primary system.
Well, I'll let Brad go first, but I honestly don't think we can get there right now because of the vested interests of the two big parties. Brad?
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure how it would work if you had no primary. Is it sort of open season then in the general election?
Then a runoff.
Well, then the general would be a primary, Dave. You can't quite escape
exactly,
that.
Exactly, but what it would do, it would make it impossible for them to have this time to get the machine going behind a candidate. It'd be like, the candidates would come out and have, 6 months, whatever, and it's like you make your spiel, and next week, Charlie Brown, here's the election. And then people would just go out, if you get three guys with, 25% of the vote or whatever, we have a runoff.
Yeah. Well, Dave, let's ponder this. I don't have an immediate reaction of a positive nature. I do understand that our current system is a mess, but I'm not sure wiping out the primaries would have the desired effect. Thanks for your call today.
Okay.
Good to talk to you.
I might suggest, by the way, clean elections, publicly funded elections. Obviously, we have a problem here, and I think the first step in regard to what Dave's talking about would be publicly funded elections so that we don't have, the guy with the most money who gets to win, essentially.
I'm also intrigued by instant runoff voting, where voters rank their choices in a race of more than two candidates. However, it does have some unintended consequences, and in San Francisco, there's a supervisor named Ed Ju, who was actually running fourth in his district and won the race because of instant runoff voting. He was not the first choice of a majority. He was the third choice of a majority.
I don't know if that's a problem or not. The first problem that jumps into my mind is that we seem to have a difficult enough time adding one plus one plus one. They start adding in instant running and all of these other numbers. Oh, boy. We've got a mess.
Brad, we got about a minute before the break. I'm curious, given the resignation of Bradley Schlossman from the Justice Department, where he was interfering with elections on many fronts, I'm wondering if you have a comment on that, and if while you were in St. Louis, you advanced your reporting on Thor Hearn to any degree.
No, actually, I did not advance the reporting on Thor just yet, although I may be going back in November, and we'll see what happens. And I did see the skyscraper looming over the horizon in Kansas City of the Lathrop & Gage building, which is his outfit. They've got like a 30-story skyscraper in Kansas City. Got some photos of that. But no, didn't get to move that forward on Brad Schlossman. What are you going to do? Here's another resignation of another Department of Justice official. I think we're getting close to a dozen now. But other than that, they did nothing wrong. They're just leaving for fun.
I see. You got to spend more time with Carl Rowe's family.
That's it.
All right, time for a break, and we return with Brad Friedman. Questions and comments, bring them on toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. We've got some interesting stories to tell you about. We'll get right back to business after a break here. You can email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. And at that website, you can link to our podcasts, archive programs, a live stream, and a picture of your humble host, peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Two great Chinese restaurants, two great locations, one great American name.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Personally, I love the chow fun noodles. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117 for a great takeout.
Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale is a local treasure. Jim's owner and chef, Stephen Lowe, has over 20 years of experience in renowned San Francisco restaurants. Chef Lowe provides his loyal clientele with the best of East meets West, including the finest steaks in Monterey County. Chef Lowe enhances classic American and Chinese dishes with delicious French and Italian entrees and sauces. Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale transcends categories with a unique pace-setting menu and family-friendly prices. Jim's in Prunedale is open daily for lunch and dinner. Stop by 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road or call Chef Stephen Lowe at 663-488 for carryout to die for.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero. Putting the service back in service stations.
Yeah. Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Live from the Left Coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 33 minutes after the hour. We're talking with Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com, and you can join us toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372.
Guess who just got back today? Them wild-eyed boys that had been away. Haven't changed, had much to say. But man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. Told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy.
The boys are back in town, boys are back in town.
Brad Friedman's on his way back to Los Angeles from the Midwest. He checks in this evening from Kansas City. And damn, I wish I'd known that's where you're going to be, Brad. I've got this great song by Van Morrison called Excuse Me, Do You Know the Way to Kansas City?
I'm glad you didn't play it. Once again, you got it wrong, Peter. I'm what? In Kansas. Not Kansas City anymore.
Oh, okay. You're out there in the cornfields?
I am, pretty much, yeah.
Oh, that's... Okay. Well, you were in Kansas.
I was in Kansas City. Enjoyed it much, by the way.
Larry in Aptos has a quick comment about the primary question raised by Dave. Hello, Larry.
Yeah, hi. Simple solution. Have all the primaries for all the states that have primaries. The first weekend... That's another thing that needs to be changed. Voting needs to be on weekends, not on Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm.
First weekend in June. I think it's just ridiculous that these primaries are moving up and up. It kind of reminds me that the NBA Finals used to be in the middle of April, and the NFL Championship game used to be in late December.
Right. Yeah. Extended for commercial purposes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I appreciate the comment. Thank
sure.
you, Larry.
And real quickly, there has been talk of a system that actually seems to make some sense to me, which is to let Iowa and New Hampshire go first as usual, and thereafter break it into four different primaries, northwest, northeast, southwest, and southeast. That might make some kind of a difference and sort of rotate them each primary season.
Yeah. My point is that in order to reduce the amount of money that drives the campaigns, you need to avoid stacking up big states all on the same day.
Oh, yeah. No, it's absolutely ridiculous what they're doing. I mean, they're all moving them up to January. We're going to be having these primaries in 07 before this is all said and done.
Brad, breaking news today coming out of Orlando, Florida, and our listeners know that we have covered the antics of Republican Congressman Tom Feeney in some detail. And Clint Curtis, who challenged him in last year's congressional race, went public with the story of how when Clint worked for a software company, Tom Feeney came to take a meeting there asking how they could manipulate software so that they could manipulate the outcome of elections. And as you have reported a couple of times on Brad Blog today, there is a grisly report of a double murder and a suicide with individuals who are related to Tom Feeney. Tell us about it.
Yeah, very strange story. And, in fact, when Tom Feeney asked Curtis to do that, Feeney worked at that company as a registered lobbyist even while he was the Speaker of the Florida House. And he was asking about touchscreen voting, vote rigging on touchscreen voting machines. I mentioned that for a reason that I'll hit in a second. But... Yeah, very bizarre story. Still trying to figure out what to make of it. But Feeney's political consultant, Ralph Gonzalez, was found dead. Police were initially calling it a double murder-suicide. There was some talk that there was a lover spat going on. Some reports that Ralph Gonzalez, the head of this consulting firm called Strategem Group, that he was gay, don't know for sure, but yeah, two folks, including Gonzalez, ended up murdered apparently, and the other one suicide. This is the same fella, Ralph Gonzalez, Strategem Group, who had turned out, if your listeners remember, who had turned out all of this propaganda and this smear campaign against Clint Curtis when Clint was running against Feeney last November. Your listeners may remember this crazyclintcurtis.com website they put out,
right,
or the Tom Feeney mailer that backfired on him when he sent out this mailer suggesting that Clint Curtis had been endorsed by Hustler magazine, and it backfired when some local mothers were upset because they felt they were receiving pornography in their mailbox from Tom Feeney. Well, it turns out the guy who put those mailers together and the crazyclintcurtis.com website is, in fact, Ralph Gonzalez, an old friend of Tom Feeney. Feeney was very fond of him, apparently. And, well, he's dead today. A very strange story. Still trying to figure out what to make of it all. But, boy, a lot of dead folks sure do seem to happen around Tom Feeney, it seems.
Well, and you make an interesting connection here between Ralph Gonzalez and Jack Abramoff.
That's right. Jack Abramoff, in fact, well, there's a couple of connections here. Ralph Gonzalez had been the executive director of the Georgia Republican Party, which was at the time the president of that was Ralph Reed, close, obviously, a colleague of Jack Abramoff's. But, I mean, it all gets mixed up together here because you've got Gonzalez up as the head of the Georgia GOP. And speaking of dead guys and Tom Feeney, you may recall that, in fact, the Florida Inspector General that was looking into Curtis's claims about Feeney down in Tallahassee, Florida, ended up dead for some still unexplained reason up in Valdosta, Georgia. So it's a hell of a story, and it's a mess, and still trying to figure out what the hell is going on here.
Wow. And you have a sequence of updates here, now able to identify the dead individuals as Gonzalez, his roommate David Abrami, and a friend named Robert Drake.
Yeah.
And still working on figuring out who killed whom.
Well, it seems that Drake apparently was the killer. We don't yet, at least according to these early reports, we're not exactly sure how the killings happen, although we've learned now that neighbors had heard what seemed to be gunshots either on Monday night or Tuesday night, although the bodies were not found until yesterday. The other fellow you mentioned, Abrami, was actually the roommate of Gonzalez, but Abrami, we are told, is not gay. Apparently he had a girlfriend in North Carolina that he was getting ready to move back across the country to be with. And he may not have even known that Gonzalez was, in fact, gay, if, in fact, Gonzalez was gay. Yeah. And the only reason I point out any of that business is, A, because AP was reporting it early as a possible lover's spat. They have quickly done away with that reporting. But, you know, again, it needs to be pointed out because these are folks who had been beating up on you know, on gay people and accusing them of being child molesters and using it to, you know, get folks out of the polls, these anti-gay marriage measures and so forth. So that's why it's notable, and that's why it comes into this matter at all, as far as I'm concerned.
Right. Well, Brad Blog is the first place I saw this story, and I think you've done an excellent job of piecing together the elements of it as they are revealed, and we will continue to monitor Brad Blog to see what else develops.
Very good.
Now let's move to California and the status of Secretary of State Deborah Bowen's top-to-bottom review and the ripple effect of it. tell us a little bit about your post here about ESNS, one of the electronic voting companies,
yeah,
and that they're facing fines and possible decertification here in California.
Oh, yeah. Not just one of the voting machine companies, but the largest one, frankly, in the United States, largest supplier of voting machines. And Bowen reported this week that ESNS used 1,000 uncertified AutoMark voting systems in several counties in California. Now, the AutoMark system, it's actually a touchscreen system for the disabled, but it doesn't record inside the value of the vote inside the machine. It's not a DRE, a direct recording electronic device. It actually prints out a paper ballot that is then counted by another means, OpScan or hand-counted or whatever. So, you know, a lot of electronic voting critics have recommended the AutoMark be used for disabled voters. Nonetheless, you got to do it legally, and ESNS, who has been distributing the AutoMark, apparently put in at least 1,000 machines into California. Incredibly, they put and they were not certified for use, this particular version. an older version had been certified, but they snuck in this new version, and they put on stickers with the old certification number onto the machines. It appears that they were trying to pull off a real fraud here, and California Secretary of State Deborah Bowen seems to be hopping mad, has announced that there will be a hearing September 20th to decide what to do here, and ESNS could face a $10,000 fine per machine. They could be ordered to refund the money to the taxpayer money, I should add, to the counties use these machines. They can have the systems decertified, and ESNS can be kicked out of the state of California entirely and disallowed to do any more business here. Something like that happened similarly back to Diebold back in 2004, you may recall, when they used uncertified hardware and software and snuck it in, and their systems were also decertified. Later on, they were recertified once Bruce McPherson came in and gave a rubber stamp to any voting machine company that wanted to do business in the state. I don't suspect ESNS is going to get off quite that easily, however, with Bowen now in charge.
It's very interesting, and Brad, I wanted to alert our listeners that next Friday, during this hour, we will be joined by Gail Pellerin, who is the county clerk of Santa Cruz County, and we'll talk to her about this top-to-bottom review, about what machines, if any, they use in Santa Cruz County, and how they are responding to the Secretary of State's new protocols.
Well, I look forward to that, because the fact of the matter is, it's high time that some of these election registrars start working with Deborah Bowen, start working with the election integrity folks. And unfortunately, right now, too many of them are out there, here I'm going to use that word again, lying to the media, lying to the public about these voting systems, about the testing that, frankly, isn't done on these machines and the security of these systems. And we need to open up that dialogue. We'll see which side of the Pellerin falls on. I look forward to having that conversation, too.
Should be good.
And listen, I don't know if you got to go to a break here, but there was one other T that I wanted to cross and I wanted to dot.
Go ahead. We got time.
On that Clint Curtis matter. Feeney had asked him to create touchscreen voting machine, voting, what do we call it?
Software right.
For touchscreen voting machines prior to the 2000 election in Florida, according to Curtis's claims. Now, one of the charges against Curtis was that, no one in Florida was talking at all about touchscreen voting in Florida in 2000. Well, this Dan Rather report that came out last week on HDNet has had a ripple effect of its own, and there'll be more to come from there. But what became clear was that the Sequoia Voting Machine Company had been gaming the paper punch card ballots to be sent to Florida mm-hmm. in the 2000 election. Seven whistleblowers came out from the company to make those charges. It was startling. You can see the report at bradblog.com. I strongly recommend it. But it kind of plugs another hole in the Clint Curtis story and puts the lie to those folks who said that, no one was thinking about touchscreen voting machines in Florida in 2000, because, in fact, we know that Sequoia had already been using touchscreen machines in Riverside County in 1999 and 2000, and they stood to make millions, and, in fact, they did make millions when the state of Florida and the entire country moved to their touchscreen voting machines after the debacle that may well have been caused by Sequoia in Florida in 2000.
So it was like they had their own Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, it really was, and they created it. And, you know, I've been reporting, as you know, on that Curtis story for about 3 years now, and while all of the holes aren't plugged up, I have yet to find any a problem with anything that he's reported. I'd say, I used to say 85-90% of it had been backed up by other sources. I'm going to bump that up to 90-95% of it is now backed up with other sources, now that we see that, in fact, people were very much thinking about touchscreen voting for the state of Florida prior to 2000. So another criticism of his story bites the dust, and chalk up yet another one to Clint Curtis.
We'll continue in a moment with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool block skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow. Hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests and you call in with your questions and ideas. And we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it five times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
And it is in the middle lane. Felton Highway 9, Graham Hill Road, solo spin-out. It's a vehicle stuck on the... And we're taking a look at Felton Highway 9 after Graham Hill Road. A solo spin-out. It's a vehicle stuck in the turnout. It's near the old Big Trees Road. San Martin, East San Martin Avenue, New Avenue. Some wires down the roadway. We have emergency crews on scene tending to that situation. Salinas, Old Stage Road at Spence. Accident report there. Injuries involved. Tow truck on the way. It's actually an overturned vehicle into the ditch there. Also want to mention the fact that northbound and southbound 17 looking good at this point. No real problems to report. Although we do have some slow traffic southbound 17 between Highway 85 and Highway 9, one of our air units over the scene, just giving us that information right now. And this report is brought to you by the folks at Purell. Purell with aloe, hand sanitizer, kills 99% of the germs.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, the home stretch, as we continue with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. And we're joined by Peter V. in Monterey. Hello, Peter. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. Brad?
Yes, Peter?
Thank you for your due diligence. I believe you and Mr. Collins, in a large part, delivered us the heavenly angel known as Deborah Bowen. And, Brad, I would like to leave you with my favorite quote, which sort of dovetails into yours, and that is, in times of universal deceitfulness and national delusion, also known as the Rove era, the most radical and revolutionary act you can commit is to tell and report the truth. I commend both of you revolutionaries. Thank you.
All right, Peter. Thank you. Pithy, wouldn't you say, Brent?
Indeed. Thank you, Peter. That means a great deal. Appreciate it.
Nice guy. Brad, I wanted to see, we've talked recently about how Deborah Bowen's top-to-bottom review, particularly the analysis, the technical analysis of the touchscreen machines, showed that there is a timestamp that is applied to every ballot that is recorded on these machines, and that it would give us the information for forensic investigations, because you could, number one, here in California, it showed the vulnerability. But on the flip side of that, if you're, for example, trying to find who really won in Ohio in 2004 and presuming that the ballots had not been destroyed, that you could reconstruct at least some of the voter activity based on the timestamp on the electronic voting machine and the manual paper
paper rolls of people as they checked in at a particular precinct.
Yeah, you have that exactly right. In fact, that happened in Ohio. A couple of activists went into the Delaware County Board of Elections and made a public records request, got some of that information, and they were able to figure out exactly who voted for what in the 2000 election, you know, down to Mr. and Mrs. Smith when they came in to vote, you know, how they voted on various initiatives. Now, the voting machine companies have been lying about this for years, and in fact, Diebold continues to lie, even though they've changed their name to Premier. They're still lying. And in fact, last week before the story broke about ES&S touchscreen machines doing this, I had run a report on the fact that Diebold was out there on their website on their frequently asked questions page telling people that, in fact, the order of the ballots was scrambled and therefore still secret. Well, it's easily unscrambled, but it doesn't really matter if they scramble it or not if it's got a timestamp next to it down to the millisecond. That's exactly what the Diebold machines do. That's what the ES&S machines do. I don't know if Sequoia or Hart InterCivic does that. But, you know, yet another unintended consequence of this e-voting disaster is that, guess what, we have lost the secret ballot. How much worse could it get?
Well, and Harvey Wasserman and Bob Fetrakis in Columbus, the very diligent investigators and the protectors of our election integrity, they tried very hard to force the preservation of these ballots. And it appeared they couldn't really persuade the new Secretary of State, who is certainly heads and shoulders above
J. Kenneth Blackwell.
Thank you, Blackwell. Yeah. But it seems that she didn't quite grasp the significance of this.
Yeah, that is disturbing because, in fact, a federal court had ordered all 88 Ohio counties to retain their ballots, both voted and unvoted ballots from the 2004 election, and yet 56 counties didn't. They either lost or destroyed or they had some other kind of excuse. And I'm not entirely sure why Jennifer Bruner, the new Secretary of State, there isn't more up in arms about it and calling for some more accountability. They each came through, I mean, every single 56 different counties, they each had their own excuses. Oh, we couldn't find them. Oh, we were remodeling. Oh, we go ahead and destroy them 2 months after the election, even though, you know, Ohio law says they have to keep them for 22 months. So I'm not completely clear what's going on in that office and why she's not fighting for some more accountability and explanation there, but it is very troubling. And remember, they're supposed to keep the unvoted ballots so that they can compare them to the voted ones and make sure, oh, you know, we're not missing a few thousand unvoted ballots that somebody has taken, marked as they wanted, and stuffed the ballot box. So it's yet another disturbing story, and I'm glad to know that some 12 officers dumped a whole bunch of stock, over $500,000 worth of stock right out there on the same day simultaneously. I've been trying to figure out an explanation for it, if you know, to find out if there's a legal, logical explanation. I have yet to find one. The financial analyst that I spoke to felt that it was certainly curious and that there seems to be some smoke there. Why these guys dumped their stock at a near 52-week high just days before an analyst would change the rating of the Diebold stock and it would plummet some 15%. Still looking for answers there, but you can find that complete report at bradblog.com. And if there's any financial analysts out there who can come out with a reasonable explanation for what appears to be insider trading, I sure as heck would like to know what it is.
Well, you know, George W. Bush is an expert at that. Maybe they got some free advice.
Yes, they probably did. They're very close to that White House, I understand.
Well, Brad, I want to thank you for an excellent report, and good luck on your trek through Kansas and on back to California. Come home, will you?
Eventually. Thanks, brother. Always good to talk to you. Have a great weekend.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
Very good.
Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm much obliged.
Happy trails to you until we meet again.
Archives, podcasts, email to the host, all at peterbcollins.com. Thanks to Liz Curtis for taking our phone calls today. We'll be back at you. Same time, same station, real soon.
It's about the clouds if we're together. Just sing a song.
Hi, I'm J.R. Medina, owner of PG Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue in Pacific Grove. My family and I are proud to serve the finest selection of beer, wine, liquor, and non-alcoholic beverages in the Monterey area. Our store is evolving beyond adult and soft drinks. We serve freshly brewed Acme coffee, the finest breakfast burritos, and now Nathan's hot dogs. We're open daily. Come by and check out the big, big selection and low, low prices at PG Liquors. That's PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove.
President Bush says he listens to his military commanders. Well, Mr. President, I was one of those commanders, and you weren't listening when we warned you of the dangers we'd face invading Iraq. Now our military is overcommitted, and America is less secure. Mr. President, you're being told we need serious diplomacy, not escalation, and you're still not listening. If the President won't listen, Congress must.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. Suspended without pay indefinitely. The NFL coming down on dogfighting quarterback Michael Vick.
NFL Commissioner Goodell called his conduct illegal, cruel, and reprehensible, and said the association with illegal gambling was enough to violate Vick's NFL contract.
CBS's Hari Srinivasan, CBS News legal Chief Legal Andrew Cohen, has seen the pages of admission by Vick.
You can tell the agreement, the summary of facts, were carefully parsed word by word by lawyers to force Vick to admit as much as necessary to get the feds and the judge on board with the deal, but maybe not so much as to immediately doom Vick's chances of ever playing football again. It's good lawyering, and on Monday we'll know if it worked.
That's when the quarterback will be sentenced. The killer of 9-year-old Jessica Lunsford sentenced to die today by a Florida judge, Jesse's father refusing to offer solace.
He said one time that when he gets to heaven that he was going to tell Jesse, sorry, I got bad news. I don't think you're going to make it there.
Mark Lund.
These other kids.
An astronaut's apology. Details of Lisa Nowak's first public appearance since allegedly attacking a fellow astronaut from CBS News correspondent Kelly Kobieya.
After 6 months of public silence, former astronaut Lisa Nowak spoke out, apologizing to the other woman in the case, Colleen Shipman.
And I would like her to know how very sorry I am about having frightened her in any way.
Her first public statement came after a day-long court hearing in Orlando with Nowak's attorneys trying to convince the judge to throw out evidence along with the ankle monitor that tracks Nowak's movements. That did not sit well with the woman she's accused of attacking.
Are you still afraid of Ms. Nowak?
Yes.
The judge made no decisions today. In fact, he said he'd schedule 6 more hours of court time just